It's a pivot point for gaming culture, with budding new upstarts hoping to carve out their slice of the gaming universe. Peloton is pivoting to gamify exercise, Panic is opening up orders of their rich monochrome portable, and the march of new games, remasters, and groundswell events continues. Being a gamer is only getting better, and the definition of one continues to expand with more and more options. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to bring you details on these and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. Another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live here once again, Sunday nights, 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern, at twitch.tv/VOG Network, the Voice of Geeks Network. I am here, Rob Roberts, and I am joined by my co-hosts. Say hello to Dark Soccer or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hello. Here with me for episode 877 for July the 25th of 2021, because I don't think I said the date and the episode number up front. And that's important when you have 877 episodes. It's a lot to sift through.
Right.
It's a lot to browse. Did you know, I was listening, because we do tape live, of course, after the Bobby Blackwolf show at VOG Network. And Bobby, you can actually, on his website, you can go back all the way to episode one and download everything. You actually can't do that with us. Did you know that?
Yeah, we're special.
Yeah, because it's just too much. Because we're 3 hours, we're 3 hours ish. It's anywhere between 2 and 3 hours every week. So the file size really accumulated. So I think you can get everything back to like episode 600. But so it's still a good chunk. But you have to look around and ask people to find anything earlier than that. I don't know if listening to old news is always fun though. I don't know. Do you like to listen to old stuff with old news, Dark Sakura?
Certain podcasts, but they're not news podcasts, I guess.
See, yeah, that's the thing. We should have had a evergreen format. We could have talked about different. I mean, I guess there are things like the classic game of the week is kind of evergreen content. There are pieces of the show. The bad jokes are always evergreen, but you know, the gaming news, I would think you got to go back to episodes where, like, oh, Nintendo announced this week that they're naming their new console the Wii. What a dumb name. This console's going to flop with a stupid name like that. Oops. I don't know if we were that big on it, but obviously that name didn't matter. That's for sure.
Well, I don't think I ever changed my story about the name. It was something that got people talking.
Yeah, it did get people talking. That's for sure. Somebody else here on the show that likes to get people talking, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
There's lots of names of the kid made it that were even worse. And they, like, should have.
Wii U would have been worse, actually.
that was Wii U. I'm sorry, but I can only think of Kung Pao when I hear Wii U. It's just, you know.
I know. That was not a great name. Yeah, I you know, I'm the Nintendo leak stuff. There was more this week, and I think a little bit of that's coming up later in the show. But I think one thing that we didn't put in there was the list about the list of potential candidates for the names for Nintendo Wii came out. There was like a big Excel document that was in there, but it was something like 100 names. And so I'm kind of like, I don't know if that's really news, because like it's a brainstorming session. And so you just saw all these other names. You don't know which ones were like the silver and bronze. Yeah,
but you can look at those names and you can go, you know, this is what they passed up and went with Wii. Like,
but the Wii thing ended up working out for him, didn't it? It was the Wii U that didn't work out.
But like, is it the name that made it or the system that made it? Like, if they called that the Revolution instead and it still had the appeal, like, I don't think the name had that much to play with it. Now, when we're talking about the Wii U, that just caused confusion.
I will say this. My direct response to your question, Loki, is did the name Wii sell it? No, but what did sell it was Wii Tennis. And so I will give Nintendo the benefit that I can't believe we're talking about this, how old it is. But I guess it is relevant with the spreadsheet showing up this week. But I will say this, Wii Tennis is the reason that system sold as much as it did. And so at least that name, Wii Tennis, you know, that Wii, it almost, I think in Nintendo's eyes, it became a verb, to Wii. But not the way y'all are thinking, grade schoolers. I mean, like, you know, the Wii being the system, and something like
Wii
Tennis
is
only playable on the Wii.
If it wasn't named the Wii, there may be some people locally that might be still alive today because of stupid radio hosts.
Ooh, ouch. Yeah. But that was a whole other issue. Okay, let's get into our kickoff topic tonight. This sucks. I have no other way to say it, and so I'm just going to kick it over to Dark Sagra to tell us about what's happening.
So there is a lawsuit that was filed on July 20th this month against Activision Blizzard for sexual harassment and other types of discrimination going on in the workplace. It was stated that they, quote, have a pervasive frat boy workplace culture that have led multiple women to quit and may have contributed to a woman's suicide. It is a 29-page Civil Rights and Equal Pay Act complaint that says that the place is a breeding ground for harassment and discrimination. It ignores inappropriate work behavior, and it regulates women to low-paying, low-ranking jobs with lower salaries than the men, which has, I mean, been a constant just in general with a lot of major companies. There's also some of the harassment that has happened. They have what's called cube crawls, where the male employees drink a lot of alcohol and visit the cubes to harass the women along the way, that men could come in hung over at work and play video games around the clock. But if women went to take a quick walk during a break or leave to go pick up children from daycare, they were reprimanded. Male workers were taking over lactation rooms to kick out nursing mothers so they could have meetings there. And the men would openly talk about their sexual encounters, talk about female bodies, and joke about rape, which is unforgivable. Furthermore, they said that fewer women reach top roles at the company. This is a quote. The women who do reach higher roles earn less salary, incentive pay, and total compensation than their male peers. Activision came out and said that the claims were, quote, distorted and in many cases false, and that they were disappointed that the state regulators had not worked with Activision in good faith to investigate before the lawsuit. Their quote says, "We value diversity and strive to foster a workplace that offers inclusivity for everyone. There is no place in our company or industry or any industry for sexual misconduct or harassment of any kind. We take every allegation seriously and investigate all claims. In cases related to misconduct, action was taken to address the issue." Bullshit. Anyway, there's also another note about, and this is where the suicide thing comes in, is that there was a woman who worked for Blizzard and killed herself on a business trip. She had been with a male supervisor that she had been having an intimate relationship with. And it also stated that the male coworkers were passing around photos of her naked before she took her life. Activism is saying that her death was not relevant to the claim and were being nasty about it. It's like, we were sickened by the reprehensible conduct of the DFEH to drag into the complaint the tragic suicide of an employee whose passing has no bearing whatsoever on this case with no regard for a grieving family. Bullshit.
Even though revenge porn was going around the workplace. You got to be fucking, exactly. That is fucking bold of Activision to do.
What's interesting is this is only a 2-year look into the company. Like, people have been saying this about the company for a long time. So it's like...
Let's let Jamie finish, because there's a lot. We all got something to say. I know it.
Yeah. The complaint is also saying that black women were micromanaged, forced to justify their breaks and requests for time off while no other workers were asked to. They were also signaled out for their body language and scolded for asking other employees for help when other employees didn't receive similar treatment. And they also were saying that the companies were hiring women based on their looks. And again, this is why you should never put your photo on your resume, just saying. I think that now it's illegal to do so. And anyway, other things that's this is really disgusting, is that there was another senior leader who, and this is the quote, engaged in blatant sexual harassment with little to no repercussions. They alleged the man made advances at women at a work event, told female employees that he wanted to marry them, and tried to kiss them and hold them. And in the lawsuit, it states that his office was nicknamed the Cosby Suite in reference to Bill Cosby, who was at the time convicted of rape and then released in a very bullshit move.
I'm sick.
It's absolutely sick. And in reading the injunction, the lawsuit, like the introduction to it, I'm just going to read a little bit of it. All right. Headquartered in California since the 1970s, were the nation's strongest anti-harassment, equal pay, and other equal employment opportunity protections exist for employees, defendants should have a safe haven workplace in the video game industry. Sexism has plagued the male-dominated gaming industry for decades, and increasingly so in recent years. Women and girls now make up half the gamers of America, but the gaming industry continues to cater to men, even in California. Activision Blizzard's double-digit percentage growth, 10-figure annual revenues, and recent diversity marketing campaigns have unfortunately changed little. Defendants compliant with California's broad workplace protections is long overdue. And that's going into a lot more of it. And here's one thing in number three. Unlike its customer base of increasingly diverse players, defendant's workforce is only about 20% women. Its top leadership is also exclusively male and white. And it lists like a big thing. You know, I'm actually, for those that are in a chat, I am going to link the document.
This is very easy to find for those on the podcast. Like, if you just go to Google News and look for Activision Blizzard lawsuit, for the sake of those on the
I'll
podcast,
I'll also say you can look up aboutblaw.com/YJW. But yeah, it lists like numbers right in the get go. One of the ones that was really just looking at what their CEO made in 2020. Was $1,494,231 and more than that in 2019 and 2018. Their highest paid female officer, Claudine Naughton, the CPO, the chief people officer, made $655,000. The next person in the same group made $852,205. He made more money than she did for the same job. So, yeah, there's another one on here too. An internal investigation in a human resource unit noted that there was a big lack of trust and that HR not held in high regard. Unsurprisingly, employees' complaints were either treated in a perfunctory or dismissive manner and not kept confidential. As a result of these complaints, female employees were subjected to retaliation, including but not limited to being deprived of work on projects, unwillingly transferred to different units, and selected for layoffs. So that's all I'll read on that one. You can read the whole thing yourself if you want.
I'm about ready to pop off, but Jamie, if you want to go first, by all means.
I have no words for how disgusted I am. To name some people by name, the World of Warcraft senior creative director, that's Alex Afrasiabi, I hope I pronounced that right. Actually, I don't care if I pronounced it right. Would harass female employees either at BlizzCon. It was an open secret, and that they had multiple conversations with him and cautioned him over his drinking and being too friendly toward female employees, but apparently he kept doing it. He is a quest and level designer for World of Warcraft, and he left the company in June of 2020. The women on the Battle.net team were subjected to disparaging comments, and that women who were, quote, not huge gamers or into the party scene were treated as outsiders within the company. It's just so much on here, like more and more that I read. It's absolutely disgusting. And there's a reason that, quote, a good faith effort was not made, or that those overtures were not considered, was because it's been proven that Activision Blizzard's own HR group is intensely inept and or does not care to act because they're in on it. They probably get something, you know, from, you know, maybe some of the other employees to sweep things under the rug. There's also, I'm trying to look at just some other things on here. Yeah, there's the cube crawls.
Let me, I want to get to a chat comment that's really good and I think important in the context of all this. So, of course, we do tape live. We have our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And our pal Tay Plays Games from the Debbie Delight scene is in chat and gives us a very, I think, a very important comment we should keep in mind. I've got some stuff to say. Hi, my partner has worked at Blizzard for over 13 years. He is a rape survivor and a gay man. I'd like to remind everyone that the vast, vast majority of people who work at these companies are good people who want to do their jobs. There are queer people, women, and people of color who work at Blizzard and are trying to do their jobs and change the culture from the inside. Let's be mindful of when we talk about these companies, we are condemning the bad actors, those who have perpetuated discrimination of any kind, as well as company leadership. 100%. I agree with that comment. That is why, when I see the knee-jerk response of we have to boycott Blizzard over this, I don't think that is the correct action. And there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, I thought everybody was already boycotting Blizzard over the Hong Kong stuff. Didn't seem to be very effective, did it? Number two, boycotts are going to affect the folks that Tay's talking about. And you even bring it up in the lawsuit there about the layoffs and those, you know, types of things that you bring up there. The people that aren't a problem aren't the cause of the problem are the ones that are going to be targeted by those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. However,
okay,
I do think that the lawsuit may force the changes that needed to happen.
Yes, and.
And this is what's effective.
Yes. And that's the part. So I want to clarify something I said earlier, because in the beginning I said, here we go again. This news doesn't, you know, make me happier. I don't know what I said at the beginning, but I think y'all know which part I'm talking about. Hearing about these disgusting stories that Jamie just outlined, that's the part I don't like. A major, major component of what makes this story different from this story we have heard way too many fucking times at this point. And by the way, if you want to boycott Blizzard, I hope you're boycotting Ubisoft. I hope you're boycotting gaming right now. You should just not be playing video games. And
while you're at it, stay off of Twitter.
Stay
off of Facebook. Stay off of Twitch. Stay off of Amazon.
That is the...
If you're going to take the boycott route, you have to boycott the whole ecosystem.
That is the unfortunate part of this, is that this Activision Blizzard is just the latest. It's a fucking whack-a-mole game right now. It is the latest example of rot in this industry that we as fans, we that love video games, we that have had our lives improved, enriched, enhanced, communities built around video games. These stories that we are fucking sick of hearing, because we want this industry to be taken seriously. But time and time again, the people in charge are letting us down. And quite frankly, how dare J. Allen Brack go out there on Twitter and leave that note about, well, I'm very surprised to hear about these types of things. I'm so disappointed. You know what? There were four words missing from that statement. I resign effective tomorrow.
That is
what is needed.
I like
take
what
Tay out
just
the
said
trash. Yeah, please.
In chat, there is no ethical consumption under capitalism.
Yes.
Yes.
I was going to say, so I think what we can celebrate, which is a weird word to use, I'm sorry, but. And this is a theme we've talked about in gaming over the last few years. If the gaming industry cannot solve the problem, the government is going to step in and fix it for them, which might not be the solution they want. And we've said that about violence in video games, right? That's why the ESRB was founded, right? We've said that about loot boxes in video games, which has been something that, you know, the government's hovering over that. Well, you know what? The big difference here, the state of California has now shown up to the table to say, we're now going to order some fixes. We're now going to mandate some fixes. And that's the part where I go, finally, our elected officials at work. Because quite honestly, what I think needs to happen with this, I think a Senate hearing needs to happen with this. I know that sounds really radical and crazy, but that's the level of visibility this entire industry needs. This is not an Activision Blizzard problem specifically. It's an industry problem. And it's time to lay it out on the table.
I don't even know if it's just this industry. I mean, there's lots of industries where this is a problem. But, like, obviously, if it prompted them to investigate it, there was a lot more I don't like how they just sweep it under the rug and say, oh, we're so shocked. You know, it's like, it's not. Because, like, obviously, if it led up to that, there's been lots of complaints. They don't just take the first complaint that comes to them and go, okay, now we're going to investigate. Like, they normally, if there's a lot of complaints, then that's when you're seeing a lawsuit. And they would be filing a lawsuit if they didn't have evidence. So, like, I don't know.
I think that if there's any sort of offer for an out-of-court settlement, I think it should be rejected. This needs to be public and stay public.
And I think as far as what can we do when we're trying to think, you know, and I know a lot of people, especially like if you stream Overwatch stuff and World of Warcraft stuff, it's like, I don't want to give up my community because a bunch of people were assholes that really didn't impact the final product of the hardworking frontline. Exactly. What can we do? Here's what we can do. We can write our elected officials and encourage them to keep doing this. Because unfortunately, the gaming industry has proven they can't take care of it themselves.
Well, and I have to say, it's actually, gosh, when did they do the podcast? It was either earlier this year or last year. One of my favorite podcasts, which is Stuff You Missed in History Class, hosted by my friends Annie and Samantha. They did one about women in gaming and what it's like to be a woman in the industry and what it's like to be a woman gaming. You know, we actually make up more than half now of the gaming community. Yet the companies ignore this. We're harassed online whenever we try to you know, play games, an online game, or a lot of streamers who identify female or close to it can get some harassment. That's actually why I quit streaming before. Did you know that?
I do know that you, more so than Loki and I, have faced scrutiny here on OLR over the years. Yeah. I know that for a fact.
That's so, what led to my 2-year hiatus from streaming.
I mean, I just to be clear, I sometimes get the emails because, you know, I sometimes get the emails, very rare, especially anymore. But I get the emails that are like, you know, you can pray the gay away. You can change. I do get those types of things once in a while.
Garbage.
But you get the shut the fuck up and get back in the kitchen emails. And that's disgusting.
I do get those. I should see some of them so I can make fun of them.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time.
The first one that says that I need to make sandwiches, and I'm like, I'll make
you a
knuckle
sandwich.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
It was honestly, though, I have really thick skin with the show and with being online, but there are some things that I'm just like, I got sick of it. And I'm more stubborn. I don't let people chase me off of anything, but I was just like, look, I don't have time for this shit right now. So I quit. I had quit. I was done. I think the last thing I had streamed was Hotful Boyfriend at the time, which I need to do again. But I took however long off just because I was done with it. And the thing is that when we now make up equal, if not more, of the gaming population, we need to also be that well represented within the industry as an employee, as a game designer, doing music, doing graphic design, branding, SEO, all of it that goes into the video game industry, we need to have equal representation within the industry as much as a consumer in the industry. Make sense?
Absolutely. I want to get some more comments from chat. You guys are lighting it up with good stuff. I'm sorry I can't get to everything. But our pal Tay is also saying, evergreen thing you can do. Uplift the voices of marginalized people. Shut the fuck up and listen to what they have to say.
Yes.
Men, be better. Yes, the onus is on you to call out your friends when they say stupid shit. The message here is not that every man in the world has done something wrong. But the point is that when you illustrate that story about the cube game where they're drunk crawling the cube, this, all this stuff, that's not one person. That's a group of people. It would have taken one person within that group of people to say, this is fucked up.
And this is actually going back to something that was a part of, do you remember the hashtag that was going around? Yes, all men.
Oh yeah. 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 I do.
This is going back to that because it's enough men or cishet men in general that it breaks our trust. You know, women identified, parafemale, you know, demifemale, like myself. I'm going to use women loosely in that respect. It's enough that we're wary of all. I mean, and hell, I even am wary around gay men that I don't know, because I've before been groped and said, it's okay, honey, I'm gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it's not okay.
No, it's not okay.
You touched me without my permission.
Yeah.
You know, the only time I don't get that is when I'm in sister face. It's absolutely disgusting. But anyway, going back to this, though, is that, you know, I'm going to actually go into a little bit of a history lesson. Okay. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, maybe late 1800s, early 1900s, we had, you know, longer than the regular 5-day, 40-hour week. We had child labor rampant. There were very few regulations. And it was when people came together to form unions. They unionized, they spoke out, and they made shit happen. And that's why we have a 40-hour work week, and we have, you know, the general 5-day, and we have weekends and time off and these regulations. Because people got together, and they made the shit happen. And that is 1,000% why the video game industry needs its own union or series of unions. And every time tech and gaming industries have tried to unionize, they've been shut down. People have been fired. It's happened with Google. There's been silencing all across the board. Anti-union propaganda being spread. And it's time. Honestly, I think it's almost time to restructure our concept of unions and have more people involved in them, make them more grassroots, make them, they're fairly powerful. We saw what happened. I still need to figure out the rest of what happened with the SAG-AFTRA strike. But this is why we need unions, we need the regulations, and we need these protections in place. And we need I wouldn't even say necessarily government intervention, like government oversight, but we need a completely unbiased third party oversight group that inspects both the companies and inspects the way the government is handling it.
I think,
because the government's going to always say that they're doing it right.
I think that is a solution that may need to happen here. As much as, you know, I think a lot of us go, oh, the government, that's never good news and all that stuff. And I totally get that perspective. Like, government regulation and oversight is where this is all headed. That's the bottom line, I think, to all this, because this is an epidemic in the industry. You know, Activision Blizzard is who we're talking about this week. But unless action starts like now, I think every company in the gaming industry should be responding to this news this week internally.
Ubisoft. I mean, thank goodness for Ubisoft not being in the United States, because otherwise they'd probably already be under this type of scrutiny as it is. But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of companies and examples of different companies. It's definitely industry wide.
Yeah.
Well, and Sia Tiberi brings up another point that I was going to bring up. Unionizing on its own is not enough. A union needs to be regulated to be held accountable by its members. Absolutely. And that's why I'm saying, you know, we need proper oversight. I personally think that all government agencies need to have non-government oversight reporting on them. You know, have outside agencies look at their budgets, etc. But that's a completely different topic. But now someone like my mother would come in and say, well, that regulation, it's going to make us just like North Korea. And I bring up North Korea because I've been watching a lot of documentaries about the regime. But it's not. That's the thing, is that we already have a culture that understands that freedom of speech, freedom to act, that's fine, but the consequences need to be in place so that people are not going to take advantage of it. As in, advantage at the expense of other people. Your rights end where they infringe on mine. Make sense?
Uh-huh.
And actually, Tay was bringing up something else that I absolutely agree with. Over half the states in this country have right-to-work laws, which effectively cripple any power unions have. So yes, we do need more government involvement in the form of rewriting labor laws. Absolutely. But we also do need to make sure that there's oversight that is from without both the company and the government. So...
And obviously, all of these things we're talking about, sadly, are not going to be remedied in a week. By the time we get to next week's show, we are not going to be able to wave the flag and celebrate. Hooray! Sexism and misogyny has been eliminated in our industry. Nope, that will not be a headline next week.
I have my own thoughts on this. I think that our country is too big to effectively have a central government, and that I think that states aren't necessarily the way to go either, but that's a completely different philosophy.
But I think also in the short term, you know, I know we don't have a ton of industry people listening to this show, but there's a few. And I hope you all at least feel empowered after this. I mean, I would hope folks felt that way already, but to report those types of things as you see them and call this shit out, look for, especially for microaggressions, which is usually a symptom of a much larger problem. Now you know. If nothing else, now you know. If your HR department's not doing shit, there's a California department, there's a department in your state that's probably building up case files, quite frankly.
And I want to say something that I said on Bobby's stream before us.
Yeah.
Bobby's stream. Bobby's show. Just because the show I've been doing a little too much. That just because you don't see it, just because it doesn't happen to you, doesn't mean it doesn't happen. You know, I'm going to use a really stupid example. I've never had tattoos, therefore no one ever has them. What is this thing on your body? No, just because I've never had a tattoo doesn't mean that other people don't have tattoos and don't think that they hurt or that they're beautiful or whatever.
My husband might have something to say on that if you've been paying attention to his blogs this past week.
I know.
Alan got his first tattoo, if you didn't know.
That's cool. But... My point goes back to it is just like, just because no one's ever given me shit for the color of my skin doesn't mean that other people aren't being given shit for the color of their skin. Just because, I'll say just because Dan can go out and pretty much have his walk of the world because he's a white straight man, you know, doesn't mean that I can have the same thing happen because I am an asexual parafemale. You know, my experience is going to be different. I'm going to have people going, well, that's weird, or you're not into that? What? That means you're broken. I've had doctors try to cure me, you know? But that's not the experience that allosexuals might have. You know, I'm using it as an example. Everyone's experience is going to be different. And just because you don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. That's why we need more diversity. We need these different voices, and we need these different levels of experience to be in on it and speak on these things.
Yep.
We need to shut up and listen to each other. We're too busy. And even just in an everyday conversation, right? We're too busy reacting or thinking about what we want to say on it to actually listen to what the other party has to say. We talk to react. We don't talk to listen.
I want to get one more comment from Tay here. He's been given a lot of good comments throughout the night. Many of these video game companies are headquartered in California, which has comparatively strong labor protections. The problem is, which employees want to potentially get fired by sticking their neck out to form a union? The catch-22 is very real, unfortunately. Yeah, and that is things we need our government to, you know, ensure, certainly that there are, like, whistleblower protections in all industries, and that people that do come forward and speak on these issues are protected. I think that is, you know, one huge thing. Unfortunately, we're not going to get there next week, even though I wish we could. We need to keep using our voices to push our government, which at the end of the day is supposed to work for us, to do these things.
I like the last thing that Tay said. It's a very simple concept called empathy. This is why finding people who don't look like you, sound like you, or believe in the same things is an active effort. Mm. Yes. 1,000 times yes. And I just went through, it wasn't assigned to me, but I did the training at work anyway about the place that empathy has in the in my company that I work for, about the spirit of collaboration and about how diversifying your worker base and listening to those different concepts makes a better, stronger company. It makes a better, stronger employee when you are listening to other people and taking wisdom from their experiences. So it's absolutely empathy. It's not being able to go, oh, well, that's too bad. That's sympathy, right? Empathy means that you're making an effort to personalize what another person feels, to try to put yourself in their shoes, understand, even if you really can't do it because you haven't experienced it, though, you're listening to them and you're incorporating that into your experience so that you have a broader scope, that you can put yourselves in those shoes. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what else could be said on this at this time. I think that's probably a good note to move on to our next topic on. I'm sure this is going to be something that's going to be revisited in the coming weeks, and hopefully in the context of here's some reform, here's some real action that's happening, here are some CEO resignations that are badly needed right now.
Well, to change an old phrase of ours, maybe a system is only as good as the people in it.
Maybe. All right, let's move on to our gaming weeks and talk about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. So, Dark Sakura, I'm back to you because I always start with you. How was your gaming week?
Well, I hadn't been playing WoW. Honestly, I haven't played since they banished my space elf husband again. I have been playing, of course, a lot of Dead by Daylight. I have goals now, and that is to get every character at least to 40. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna put the points into Nurse. I'm gonna have Strider, and I'm gonna use that with Spirit, and it's gonna be fun. No, they're nerfing Strider, so I'm doing it now for. I know it's Thanatophobia, but I always mess up and call it Thanostopia. You know, so that's been it. Of course, I've been doing it on stream, and I've brought in a new Saturday midnight stream. Well, technically Sunday morning midnight, but yeah, I've been doing that. I've also been playing Fantasian. People wanted to watch me grind, so I let them watch me grind. And I'm getting ready to move on to the second part of the game. I'm pleased that there's going to be a part 2. I love Fantasian. It's such a good little RPG. If you've got any kind of Apple device and you have Apple Arcade, this game is absolutely worth the subscription for Apple Arcade. It is delightful. Done by so many of the Final Fantasy folks. I have been playing Wordscapes a lot because, I mean, it's my brain wake up. It's, you know, what I use to kind of get my brain going. And I'm going to start preparing myself for a streaming marathon. I wanted to do it next month in face as a sister.
Oh,
to
fun.
Do charity.
Fun.
And I don't know if I can play that much Dead by Daylight without getting completely pissed off at humanity in general. but I'm thinking that I might do that and maybe the Colonel Sanders game and Hot to Full Boyfriend and Dream Daddy, because, you know, I love my dating sims.
Do some music games. Go back to your roots. Do some. How about some Bust a Move?
But the thing is that I don't have the stuff to stream console properly on my Mac.
We gotta figure that out.
Because I'm actually looking at another streaming device, kind of a wireless streaming device. But I'm also thinking of I've got some lovely motherboards for my my old PC. But what I think I also need in it is a new graphics card. And I'm looking like at models 3 years old because there's no... I mean, I was actually in Losing Colors stream earlier because they were streaming a little bit early today. And we're talking about graphics cards and just how ridiculously expensive that they've become. And I was trying to help shop around because I've got some good resources. And I'm probably going to be looking for like a 3-year-old Radeon or something like that just because... I want something a little bit better than I have, but I don't need it for anything better than the than Mass Effect. And I still have to see if Windows ARM will play Mass Effect better now that there's new updates for it. So, anyway, that's kind of been where I've been.
That's odd. That was unexpected. Okay, so something weird has happened, and we like lost Jamie. I don't know if that was the came right back. You okay?
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I got kicked out of chat. What was the last thing that you heard? Because I thought I ended, and then I heard the blip, and then...
Yeah, it's like you had an internet hiccup or something, so that's strange.
Actually, I mean, it actually kicked me out of the chat, so...
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Does when my internet goes down.
Weird.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
As long as my full thought made it out, then that's awesome.
I think so, yes. But your camera's off. I don't know if you know.
I'll reconnect it. Hold on.
Cool. Let's go over to Loki. How was your gaming week?
It wasn't very eventful. It was all rendering is what it was.
I saw a new video today, though. So
yes,
I know
that
took something.
A long time. Like, the build took a long time. So I finished basically, if you watch my content, and really you should if you're not, I finished the build I started with the Tango visit that I had from Hermitcraft like last month. And so based on what we had sort of built a little wall, I had come up with a concept and built it in the server. And so I finished that, like the actual build, I think a week or so ago. And then it was just because we're in the brand new 1.17, a lot of the plugins and things that would normally make Minecraft run a lot better, especially with, you know, shaders and whatnot, they're all kind of beta right now. And so stuff doesn't work quite right. And so I had to run Optifine with the replay mod in order to get it to render with shaders on. And Optifine's not really optimized right now for 1.17. And so because of that, it took... And I had 9 different time lapses to render out, and it took about 2 to 3 hours per video, which sucks because I ended up cutting those down to about 30 seconds each for my time lapse. So it was a good like week long rendering. All of my evenings were rendering out like content for the video. And then I decided to dabble in After Effects and do some stuff that's at the end of the video with that, and that took a long time because I individually each frame adjusted the lighting to get the lighting look like it was in the game, and it's 60 frames per second too. So, but man, I tell you, like, even though it sucked doing that, it looks so good. Like, I've watched the end of my video at least 25 times already, and I'm so impressed with myself with what I did. But yeah, so basically kind of I finished the build. I kind of talked about like what I did with that stuff. And then I allude to some other like lore stuff that's going to be happening as well. Because like I said, there's not a lot of people to talk to on the server. Although ironically today, though, like when I get home, people want to talk. And so I like was actually in chat with like four or five people at the same time for like a good hour or so. So that was kind of nice. But normally in game, I don't get to talk to people, and so I have to kind of come up with something to try to entertain the viewers I have, what few of them there are. I've like done everything to whore myself out there, and I can't get anybody to watch my videos. Like, everybody says, like, how the hell did you get someone from Hermitcraft to, like, you know, basically collab with you? And like, they're impressed by that, but like, I can't get anybody to watch my content. Like, I don't know what to do. So I seriously am out there. Like I'm on like lots of different discords, different, you know, chat rooms. I haven't hit up the forums. That's one thing I need to do is hit up some of those forums out there. But like, I don't know. I'm trying to promote myself as best I can.
Keep
so it's
pushing.
Been, it's
keep,
it's
keep
been
pushing.
A little bit of Minecraft this week, but mostly video editing was all week. And so now the timer's reset. And so now I got to jam out some more content for next week, hopefully. But it's exciting. I have some plans. I have some very ambitious plans that, like always, I can't just leave it to be the most simple thing ever, because like I said, I'm trying to get the attention of the folks on Hermitcraft so that, you know, someday I can join them. And the only way I can do that is go big, like just big and fast. I gotta just really try to do some ridiculous stuff, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Just keep pushing as best you can. I know it's a lot. It'll be really nice when conventions start to come back. Like, obviously, I know some of the things going on with Delta and all that stuff are causing a lot of question marks, but I think the reality is that is a problem of the unvaccinated at this point. For those that are, you know, getting vaccinated, we'll be at these conventions sooner rather than later, and this is going to be nice to be back in person, and you'll get to kind of network amongst people face to face, and there's nothing better than networking face to face.
Well, so, I've been, you know, not to try to like
speak for
you
yourself.
I have talked to the server admins, and like I said, I've been pretty transparent with them about like, listen, this season, yes, but like next season, that's still a question mark. I've been shopping around, not really shopping around, but I've been looking around to see like what else is out there, like other groups of people that are kind of doing similar things that are doing more content creation.
Good.
And I found a few different groups that do that. So I've been trying to connect with them a little bit, but like even today I was talking with some people on the server, and there's like, there's one guy that he was in one of my videos, like a little bit, he made some comments and stuff, and he's hilarious. I really liked playing with him, but like, I haven't seen him in weeks. And so we got him on a voice call today, and this is the first time I've ever talked to him. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm not even playing on that server anymore. I'm playing on this server. It's like, we're losing people all the time. Like, we lost I can think of at least five people that have left. And it's making it difficult with all this attrition that we get on the server, like, to actually have people. But I did connect with some people today, and, you know, even someone that's doing content stuff. So I'm pretty excited to get to, you know, play with them a little bit. I did find out today, though, I'm the oldest person on the server, so that's nice.
Well,
but
yeah.
But whatever. I mean, it's fine. I would like to play with more people my age, but it's fine. You know what? I'm totally cool with that. But, like, it was really nice to get to talk to people today, and I really hope to do more of that. I want to have more people, like, actually in the video and talking with them and stuff like that and interacting. I'm trying to remind them, like, hey, listen, you know, I used to swear all the time. You probably haven't noticed, like, since we've been doing it remote, I haven't been swearing a lot. I've pretty much not been swearing at all on this show. The reason for that is because I'm sitting in my kitchen, and my kids are around sometimes, and my wife, and so it doesn't make sense to be cursing all the time very loudly, and I can't do that in my videos either, because, one, assuming that I get, you know, assuming that I ever have a prospect for like Hermitcraft and stuff, they're family friendly, and I don't want to necessarily come off like that. And also, I'm in my kitchen and my family's around, and it doesn't make sense to do that. And also, my kids watch my content, so can't do that either. So that's why I haven't been as ranty and cursy as I have been in the past. But
fucking,
anyway, sorry.
Fucking I'm prude. Rambling.
I know. I'm sorry.
All right. No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry at all. I bet. Hey, Bobby Blackwolf will probably have you back on his show now.
Yeah, I can totally go on his show now because I'm not cursing anymore.
All right.
At least now let's make it clear though. During the day when I'm working, oh my god, it is just constant expletives all the time. Especially when my kid's gone and stuff like that. It's just all day long. So I get it all out during the week. It's just games and like video time. I don't do that.
Tay's in chat. There are lots of people in chat besides Tay. There's just a lot of good comments tonight with a suggestion for Loki and promotion saying, I hate to say it, but if you want to drive people to your YouTube channel, posting clips on TikTok is very, very valuable. There's a huge amount of Minecraft stuff on TikTok, and editing 30-second or minute-long clips isn't too much investment to throw on there. That's a really good idea, especially since you got that guy that's very popular.
Minutes.
Yeah, you should really like find a 30-second or minute clip from and put the hashtags, and don't forget to use some of his hashtags too. I bet that'll really help.
I can do that.
Yeah.
It's going against everything I believe about TikTok, but I can do
TikTok's
that.
Actually been a lot more fun than I thought it would be.
I know. I tease my wife all the time because she watches TikTok all the time. But
I still don't understand how to make content for it, but that's, that's
me. There's also we'll YouTube talk. Shorts, too. YouTube Shorts is another thing because the algorithm with the Shorts is much different than with the actual content. You can actually grow your channel a lot faster with Shorts, but I just haven't really made a lot of that short-form content yet, but I'm sure I could try to edit some stuff together. There's also going the tutorial route as well. I don't really want to do that, but like that does get a lot of views to your channel, so it may be something I consider.
Dr. Tsuya in chat is saying, I honestly didn't really notice about the swearing thing until you brought it up. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's just, I haven't really been doing it too much, just mainly, because of the Hermitcraft stuff, because, like I said, I'm trying to get on there. I know it's in such an impossible, thing to do, but it would be nice. I would really appreciate it. But there's lots of groups out there that I would like to play with, one of the ones I discovered this week, I've been watching a lot more YouTube and Twitch content lately, a lot more. And so one of the groups I did find, there's a group called Pleasant Craft that actually is a bunch of content creators. Their channels are a bit bigger than mine, but not huge, 3,000, 1,000-ish. And they have a pretty active community. Now, not everyone streams on there. Most of the people do. And ironically enough, the guy that I found it through, which is a guy called Game Time with Eric, who streams actually right about now. He actually streams on his own server, but he's a member of Pleasant Craft and he doesn't stream from there, which is weird. But that's how I discovered them, because I've been looking for more groups of people that are active like that. There's the other guy that left our server, Dad's Dad. He has a Sector 17. But the concern I have with them is there's people streaming on it right now, but it's not very many. And speaking with him, not all the people stream on their server. It's only a handful of people, and I have a feeling that's going to be like ours, where there's a handful of people at the beginning, but then it dies off. So I'm waiting to see how that goes. But
all right,
we'll see
as the Minecraft world turns. We'll see on next week.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. My gaming week. So I've been playing a little bit of Dead by Daylight as well. Not as much as Darksakura, actually, not as much this week compared to previous weeks, just because there's been a lot of other stuff going on. I've been playing a little bit of Final Fantasy 14 still, trying to get all my classes 80 for the next expansion. I'm getting closer. My warrior hit 60. That's one of three jobs left that I don't have at max level. So I've been working on that. But otherwise, I've been continuing in another game I've talked about recently on the show. Still loving Yakuza Like a Dragon. I just finished chapter 6 an hour before the show started tonight. So, and I believe there's 15 chapters in the game. So, but I feel like the chapters are moving faster than the first couple chapters did that really kind of set up the story. But at the same time, there's a lot more as the world's opened up. There's things you can do. And the game is just hilarious and at times. But it's also got just a really fascinating story. And it just, with the combat the way it is and everything, it does feel like I'm playing playing like a Final Fantasy-esque modern type of game, and I'm really into it. I can't believe none of you out there suggested I ever play this game. Like, why didn't any of you bring this to my attention?
I did.
I was watching La Panna play some.
I'm being a shit because everybody's been telling me to play this game. It just took me forever. I was watching him play it a little bit too, and I had to stop because he got past where I'm at. I want to ruin it for myself. So, I'm really sad about that. I'm really enjoying the Like a Dragon and trying to get some of the side. I'm very like I got to do all the side quests that I can do and all the and there's a lot of like stuff that's building up. I still haven't gotten the Dragon Cart stuff, but I think I'm close. My characters are just all got around like level 20, so I think I get to that part of the game soon. So stay tuned. And then the other game I've spent quite a bit of time playing this week actually is the brand new MOBA that just came out this week, Pokemon Unite, that is free to play on the Nintendo Switch. And a lot of people are talking about this game because it's Pokemon and it's free to play. So there's been a lot of people that have been downloading this and checking it out. And I gotta say, it's interesting because Nintendo oftentimes gets a lot of shit for not being at the peak of their game when it comes to online functionality. I think releasing a Pokemon MOBA is one of those exceptions where them lagging behind a little bit is actually really helping them. And I'm actually really thankful there is no post-game chat because that's the worst thing about any MOBA is the post-game chat or during game chat or any of that stuff or live chat. That's not to say I think Nintendo should still, like, I think they're just surrendering to Discord when their app fails to allow you to voice chat with your friends when you're playing a game, but I digress. Pokemon Unite, it's a very good introduction to MOBAs, you learn pretty quickly about, you know, the concept of like lanes and, you know, trying to get to the end, the goal. And there's like little mini fortresses before you get to the end goal. It's just that they've kind of changed it up so it all fits this Pokemon theme where you're trying to, you know, score goals. And if you get enough goals, then you kind of like destroy the goal point. And of course, you play as a particular Pokemon. And you can, of course, if you want to spend money, buy more Pokemon, although you might earn some very slowly. So I'm enjoying playing the game. It is very slow to unlock certain parts of the game. Like I just got quick play, which I didn't even because I was going to come on here and say, God, I wish there was more than one map to play on because this game seems very bare bones. Oh, there's more maps in quick play because there's like 5-minute games there as opposed to 10-minute games. I still think this game is very obviously in its infancy and there's going to be plenty more to come, more Pokemon, more maps and things like that. So I think that'll be good. The other like issue with Pokemon Unite is that there have already been several exposés exposed on the free to play practices and just how much of an advantage pouring money into the game and upgrading items and things like that can give you. There was a whole little analysis done where somebody bought like all the max upgrades for one of the Pokemon and was basically able to take out the entire other team.
Jeez.
So there's some serious balance issues, and I understand that, you know, because there's a part of me, it's like, I wish Nintendo would just put this out as a $60 game with everything unlocked, maybe charging for cosmetics, maybe, but just like let people have the full experience. But I understand, I guess that's not in their vision, and most MOBAs don't go that way. But most MOBAs are pretty balanced, where even if somebody pours money into the game, one person can't take out the entire other team. So, but it's new. It just came out this week. Some things are going to have to be looked at, I'm sure. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt in that regard. We'll check in a month and see where things are at with that. But as far as like, I don't play MOBAs, but what are they? I think Pokemon Unite's a good entry into them just to check it out and see what it's all about. And, you know, it's Pokemon. There's a bit of it that if you've ever played a Pokemon game in your life, you're going to pick up pretty naturally. And there's a lot I'm really looking forward to with the game as it continues to develop and more stuff comes out. Mike Deft in our chat, by the way, I want to congratulate Mike Deft's podcast, the GFM Cast, for hitting 5 years this
nice.
Week. This week was their 5-year show, or should I say, cinco años. show, because their show is all in Spanish, of course. So and that's the unfortunate thing. You can very much tell I don't really speak Spanish. So I'm not able to listen to the podcast as much as I'd like and really give that feedback. But Mike Deft has been a huge support of OLR here over the years. So I'm just going to support him because I like the guy. And I'm going to say a big thank you congrats for the 5-year milestone there. Let's see. Tay in chat says, all the 11-year-olds with mom's credit card. Nintendo is printing money as we speak. Yeah, it's just a matter of time before the mobile phone version of that game comes out, and then I think there's going to be even more people into it. But, you know, they're going to get called out for being predatory if they don't really balance out some of these issues. So we'll try to give them the benefit of the doubt. I already noticed that, like, once I got to level 8, the crawl to level 9 is like, whoa, it's way slower to get to level 9. And there's still things I have to unlock, like just like basic, like the ability to hold a third item. The ability to upgrade my items is unlocked at level 9. So I'm still making my way there and working there. So, yeah. But I even you can play with your friends. Like Shane and I were playing I fired up a Discord chat and we were talking over the phone, and you're able to get in the same lobby. And so, it, you know, like Overwatch or whatever other game is 5v5, even if you only have 2 or 3, you just join the matchmaking and it finds the rest of the people for you. So, yeah. So, yeah, I'll continue to play Pokemon Unite, try to get in 1 or 2 games where I can. So
I'll look into it.
It's cute. You know, if nothing else, it's free. So the only thing you have to waste is your time. Tay Plays Games says, how long is an average game? The games are capped at 10 minutes. That is the difference between that and other MOBAs, is that other MOBAs, they don't finish until the enemy base is destroyed. These games are capped at 10 minutes. And if you play quick play, it's capped at 5 minutes. So that is also, you have to remember, this game is also going to be on mobile phones. So they have to have things that are mobile phone attention span length. So I actually think that's another strength. And I've had games go less than 10 minutes because I have not seen this ability to do this, but I have, not to toot my own horn, I'm so fucking good that I've played against teams that surrendered the match before it was over. I don't know what the rules are or how that happens. But yeah, by the way, I'm an Eldegoss main. And the reason why I love to play Eldegoss, which I never thought would be like my main Pokemon, but Eldegoss is the only Pokemon that does like any sort of direct healing and shielding on others. And so I love being a support. So yeah, love that. Yeah, Tay says League takes 45 minutes on average. No, ma'am. The MOBA I enjoyed the most previously was Heroes of the Storm. Those matches could still go on for a little while. I really enjoyed Heroes of the Storm. I'm very sad that Blizzard decided not to keep investing a lot more resources into that. I really wish they had, because I was having fun with that, but it is what it is. So, all right. That's it for my gaming week. Let's move on. Is there any housekeeping I need to get to? I do want to say quickly, I will be at Dragon Con in Atlanta over Labor Day weekend, along with other person here at the Voice Geeks Network. Bobby Blackwolf will be there as well. Yes, it's still happening with everything going on in the world. I would encourage you to come if you're vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, I don't think you should come. It's everybody's personal choice at the end of the day, but just with everything going on in the world, I'm just saying you're going to be putting yourself at a much bigger risk. So I'm just to make myself clear. I am going to have six panels at Dragon Con, it looks like. So 3 on the gaming track and 3 on the digital media track. I will break that all down for you when we get closer to the convention, but I'm very excited about it. I just found out what panels I don't believe anything until it's in the app. So what panels I'm supposedly doing on the gaming track, and there's some really exciting ones because I have some stuff that's about like community stuff this year. So I'm really excited about that. That'll be cool. I also want to mention the Southern Fried Game Room Expo, also in the Atlanta area where Bobby Blackwolf is based. We are sponsoring the Southern Fried Gaming Expo, which is coming up in mid-August. So if you are in the Atlanta area, I would encourage you to check out that as well. They are taking precautions for COVID, spacing games out a little more than they usually do and things like that. So, you know, if you feel sick, that's why I'm also like, you must come to Dragon Con. No, if you're not feeling it, then don't. It's fine. I understand. Everybody's got their own comfort levels.
I'm not going this year.
Yeah, I gotcha. But next year, hopefully we can have that conversation. That would be great.
Actually, next year, probably not, because I've got DerpyCon.
Is it the same weekend, Labor Day?
No, but I have to manage my time off.
Sure, you have to pick. Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, because the other thing is that I'm actually hopefully going to try TwitchCon next year.
I'd love to do TwitchCon again. Yeah, I hope that does come back. I hope everything's safe for that to come back. You know, speaking,
that'd be fun to go to.
Yeah,
I haven't been to a convention in. Actually, I went to a gaming convention locally here not that long ago, but I haven't been to an actual convention, a bigger convention, for I don't even know how many years.
Probably when we all went to PAX 08.
Maybe. I mean, that might have been that long.
My last con was DragCon in 2019.
Mine would have been Dragon Con, yeah.
My last nerd, like, gaming, whatever convention would have been Gamer X.
The Star Trek.
I am never going to DragCon again, by the way, unless they fix a lot of their bullshit.
MagFest, I wanted to bring up too, because I heard the dates for that came out and people have been asking me about that. I don't have a hotel, so it's not in the cards right now for me to go. Could I try to work something out and go? Maybe, but I kind of feel like I think I'm only going to spend that kind of money to go out to MagFest if I can somehow be involved with the con, like doing panels or something that is in my skill set. I think that's the only way I would consider it. But I am not faced with some of the same challenges I used to have. I didn't go to MagFest for years because I couldn't swing the time off with work. I am at a different place now and I'm in a different role and because of the pandemic, I've saved up a lot of time off. That is not my challenge anymore. But money and those types of things are playing into it. So there's that.
Yeah, I don't know if you're probably in the same boat, but I'm hit my cap on vacation hours. I have to keep taking time off because otherwise I lose that time being earned.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just as far as like traveling out and spending that kind of money to go out to conventions, at this point, I really only want to do that for conventions that I'm going to have some sort of involvement in. Like that's, and I think it's my money. I can choose to draw the line there. I will do more local drivable things in this area, and that drivable's a lot. I could drive to Portland. I could probably drive to Vegas. I could drive to LA. Like that's all kind of in my driving range. So I'm open to those types of conventions, just like as a, you know, fan attendee sort of basis. But I probably will not be traveling to conventions a lot unless I'm involved with them. All right. Let's see. Let's move on. We want to get into some news. So let's start with Loki and our gaming news this week.
I mean, this is not a big surprise. Obviously, we're not expecting Nintendo to announce a, you know, Switch. Well, I mean, some people are expecting them to announce a brand new Switch Pro or something like that. But just to, reinforce the fact that, listen, they're not announcing anything. They're basically saying right now, at this time, there's no other Switch model coming. Well, I guess there's maybe firmly saying that there's no other model coming at this time other than the Switch OLED model. That's it. They're not going to be announcing anything, which, I mean, obviously, they're not going to say, well, we've got an announcement coming, but we can't tell you about it. Like, obviously, they're going to play dumb until they finally announce whatever they're going to announce when they want to announce it. So it's not, I'm not surprised that they're affirming this, but basically they said that, listen, other than the Switch OLED that's going to be coming in October this year, we've got no Switch Pro to announce, which obviously makes sense with the hardware shortages or the chip shortages and all that stuff. But they just wanted to let you know, stop speculating. You know, they'll tell you when they have something to tell you.
I wonder if this means that the Switch Pro is kind of like not a thing, and now we'll be talking about a successor to the Switch at this point. I mean,
probably at that point, like whenever they decide to do that, and who knows how long this hardware shortage or chip shortage is going to go. So by that time, it could be another system.
There's also that part of me that's very skeptical because I'm like, well, Nintendo has to say this or they're not going to sell OLED switches. You know, they can't say, well, we got something else coming soon, but you should drop $350 on this first. You know, they can't really do that. So, you know, I do take some of this with a grain of salt, but I think it is very likely due to the chip shortages, due to, you know, the nature of the world and all this stuff, that maybe there just isn't going to be a Switch Pro, that all gets looped into the Switch's successor. Maybe we get the Switch's successor earlier than planned because the Switch Pro is not going to be there to extend the life or whatever. But I kind of think that's where this ends up at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like the OLED stuff. I mean, they're not going to announce it until they're ready to announce it, even if it's something that's been in the works. And, I mean, I don't know. They're probably going to try to wait until some big game that they can kind of tie it with.
Yeah.
So, you know, Breath of the Wild 2 or, you know, Metroid Prime 4 or something like that. I mean, it's going to be something like that. And who knows? Who knows if Breath of the Wild 2 gets delayed? I mean, we don't know. We've only seen like a couple trailers. So it very well could be an announcement that they make around that time, whenever that happens, you know, closer to when those games are releasing. So just, you got to understand, you're playing by Nintendo's rules. You're just going to have to wait, okay? Unless, you know, someone hacks their emails again and all that information leaks out. But like until that happens, you know, you're just going to have to wait. Be patient.
Orange Riot suggests Mario Odyssey 2. That would be a good one. How about Luigi's Odyssey? How about Waluigi's Odyssey?
Waluigi's Odyssey?
Wah.
I'm surprised, like, after all of the complaining and whining about that stuff, that Waluigi never made it into Smash Bros.
Well, they haven't announced the last character yet. There's one more character to go.
I thought they already did.
No, there's one more character to go.
It's going to be another Dragon Quest character or something stupid. They're going to fit another, Fire Emblem character in there. It's going to be another one. They're just going to jam that in there.
I feel it's so interesting because, like, most of the, like, internet rabble are, like, things way out there. Like, you know, Master Chief gets added to the game. And then it's, like, it's that or it's Waluigi.
Waluigi as Doom Guy.
All right.
Waluigi, yeah.
Let's talk about Final Fantasy 14. This is a game I play way too much of, it's going through some changes. They are getting a huge influx of people in Final Fantasy 14, which is weird because they're not. It's just existing right now. They're actually in the pre-expansion lull. Endwalker doesn't come out until November. So there's like nothing big going on in Final Fantasy 14 now, but there's a variety of things going on, and I don't even, like, a lot of people go, oh, the WoW patch, you know, made everybody jump ship. I'm not even sure it's just that. Like, that may have been the marble that starts the avalanche sort of thing, but I feel like there's a lot of other factors where people, maybe the pandemic plays into this too. I don't, but this, like, all these people are signing into Final Fantasy 14 now. And look, I've been playing the game ever since Alpha, so I survived 1.0, okay? That's how long I've been playing Final Fantasy 14. I should have a shirt. I survived 1.0. It's a great game. Welcome. Glad y'all could make it. It's interesting that it's going through all this right now. And Naoki Yoshida, who's the producer-director of the game, actually wrote this very interesting kind of like blog post about the thing. One thing, he didn't say this in the blog post, but he said it in an interview. He actually called out and said, you know, don't come, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but it's basically like, don't shit on WoW to raise up Final Fantasy 14, because a lot of what's in this game, the influence, comes from WoW. I thought that was very polite of him to do. Like, he didn't have to say that, but he did. And I thought that was very, very nice and polite. But I also think the way that the developers of this game connect with their community, they're doing a fantastic job of that. That I don't think WoW or any other game in its current form really comes close to what they're doing over at Square Enix and Creative Unit 3. So just my thoughts there on that. But anyhow, Naoki Yoshida said the game is so popular that players in North America and Europe are having problems getting in, making characters on the servers they want because of server congestion. So he spelled out, here are the plans, here's the things we're going to do to fix this, here's what we're doing, you know, we're going to be boosting some things here, but it's not just as easy as like upping a Switch sometimes. So one other thing they did, they actually put out a patch that will boot characters from the game for being idle. So if you are sitting there idle for 30 minutes, you will be booted from the game. This is interesting because it caused a response of people to basically, like, you know, oh, but I like just sitting there and seeing the world of 14 sometimes. And I like some of the shit that goes on in Final Fantasy 14 that really has nothing to do with the game. Like the people that will be dancing in certain areas, or the bards that will be singing certain songs and stuff. Like, people are into that. So is it now Yoshida put out another statement that was basically like, that's not, I didn't say you had to log out and stop doing those things. We love that you do those things. Continue to do those things. It's just, we need some precautionary measures because of what the game is going through right now. So if you're like doing literally nothing, you're going to get logged out after 30 minutes. But don't feel like you have to log out because you're not actively playing the game, if that makes sense. I thought it was just very interesting that he had to put out two statements.
Don't people understand, like, servers? I mean, like, seriously, if you have like so many players on the server, like, you can't just idle there. Like, people are trying to get in, or like, even the very least, it's going to be server latency. Like, I get it that you like, you enjoy the world. That's cool. You know what? Other people might like to enjoy the world as well. And with all you people just sitting around, that might make it pretty taxing and hard for people to actually be able to log in and yeah, enjoy that same world with you. It's like, come on, think of other people other than yourself.
You can also enjoy the world by, you know, walking around in it.
Exactly. How about you enjoy more than just the world that's right around your character? How about you walk around a little bit, take a walk, you know, and see the sights.
I would only stop like if I had to go to the bathroom or really wanted to listen to the old Dom music, which was really it. Oh, I like the old Dom music. I'm going to listen to it for a while. Oops, I'm lost.
Well, that's why they did 30 minutes. 30 minutes is not unreasonable anyways. I don't know if I don't play Final Fantasy 14, so I don't know if there's anything that like you can AFK to farm something or something like that. But like, that's not unreasonable. Like, 30 minutes, that's more than enough time to, like, if you want to go grab a meal or something like that and come back. But, like, yeah, even then, like, log out or something. Like,
you can do a lot of pooping in 30 minutes. You shouldn't need to be AFK that long, yeah.
And with the right hardware, like the Steam, you know, like maybe that Steam console or something like that, you might not even need to log out to do the pooping. I mean, you can just take it with you. But, like, it's still, it's not unreasonable. Like, I don't understand why people would be getting upset about that. Like, it's like, listen, we could have made it much shorter. Like, 30 minutes is, I think that's more than fair.
Yeah, I think so too. It's, but the expectations for the next expansion, boy, oh boy, I'm worried that the next expansion, like, if they're having these problems now, you know, like, the interesting thing about it, Square Enix didn't project this. They couldn't, like, they couldn't know that this was going to happen, that it's getting this popular just like what seemingly out of the blue. So it's they've got to be in panic mode about this expansion. I got it. Boy, oh boy. But they'll figure it out. They always do. All right. Let's see. Tay plays games in chat, says, don't go on TikTok while pooping. 30 minutes will fly by. Yeah. Be careful about these, you're taking the Switch and the Steam Deck and all that stuff. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Get into
They'll start calling it taking a steaming deck, you know.
Dark Sakura, quick, change the topic. Dark Sakura, you're muted, just so you know. Hard mute on Discord.
I know, because I was eating.
Oh, okay.
And now I'm not. I want more of the delicious meat product. Dan slow cooked. Dan actually... we have a smoker. He smoked a tri-tip.
Oh, yum. I'm coming over.
Okay. There are only two slices left in their mind. Anyway, back to the Olympics. You know, we've had a lot of video games come from the Olympics. We've, you know, like, so much has been inspired by it in the world of gaming. But when have we ever had video game music played in the Olympics? So the opening ceremonies on Friday began with certain video game songs. There was Sonic the Hedgehog used in there, the main Final Fantasy theme. It's pretty awesome, you know. Of course, you know, the gaming industry is really, you know, a big part of the Japanese economy, and it would make sense that they would pay tribute to that, I think, in the opening ceremonies. I think that's really awesome. And the good thing about video game music, and I like this point that was made about it, is that it's not like it's pop music, you know, where it's just, you know, it's there to be a good bop to listen to it, you know, but it's there to play in with your experience with the game that you're playing. And in that case, it works very well, I would say, with an opening ceremony program.
I didn't see the opening ceremonies, admittedly. I just, you know, that's a large commitment of time. But I'm glad that the talents of video game music composers are being shown on the main stage like that, even though I know it's a weird Olympics this year. Like, there's a lot of people that are like, why are the Olympics happening? There's a lot of people in Japan, the host nation, they're like, why are the Olympics happening right now? But it is what it is. It's on the world stage for folks to hear.
Well, there's some other things on here, like the first notes of the Olympics were from Born Anew, which is the first movement of the final fight of Final Fantasy 13. But, I mean, not everyone's going to know it that well. But, I mean, there was also stuff from Monster Hunter, Kingdom Hearts, Nier Replicant, India walked out to Frog's theme from Chrono Trigger. But it's good music. I mean, it's really, like, triumphant music. I just think that it's absolutely awesome, you know.
And it'll be
definitely worth a watch.
We'll have to see what happens at the closing ceremonies, because there'll probably be some stuff there, too. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
Dartetsuya says, I thought it was all really cool. The most surprising one to me was not just Gradius, but the weapon select menu music from Gradius 2. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
SSG100 Matt says, I wonder if a figure skater used gaming music at some point. That's where my brain went
happened.
To. I was like, there had to have been a figure skater that's used that type of music for sure.
There's actually a professional figure skater, meaning non-competitive, who did like a whole Sailor Moon thing in chain. I mean, it's not
video
games.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
There's also gymnasts who have used video game music as part of their floor exercise.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. All right. And DJ Rama S says there was also a song played during the opening ceremonies that was a nod to Digimon Adventures, Bolero de Ravel.
I love Japanese Digimon.
And SG100 Matt talking about figure skating says, I feel like someone used the Halo theme. I think you're right. I think that was, I remember that being a thing.
Yeah.
So, pretty neat. All right, let's move on, Loki.
All right. So going back to Nintendo, apparently, you know, with the death of the Wii U and 3DS, they are now going to be suspending the use of credit cards on the Japanese 3DS and Wii U eShops starting January 18, 2022. I could have sworn those eShops are already down, but apparently not yet. But they're going to be discontinuing the use of cards on there. Apparently, all other aspects of the 3DS and Wii U shops will remain functional, so you can still buy games and download already purchased titles, but payments can be done through, like, eShop cards and stuff like that. That's not really a big surprise. I seriously thought this was already taken care of. And then, along with that, though, they're saying that there's a rumor that they're going to stop taking submissions for new 3DS and Wii U eShop games as of April 2022. So kind of similar to what happened with some of these other, you know, marketplaces where they kind of discontinue them and you can't put games out on there. So that may be happening April 1st, which would be, I guess, the end of this fiscal year. So interesting. We'll see if that actually happens. But once again, already thought this happened. So this is kind of like news, but like, really? It hasn't happened yet?
But then of course it also leads to that discussion about, like, you know, that what happens when these stores go down. Then it's like this, especially when we're talking about the Wii U, which still has some virtual console stuff that the Switch doesn't have. Right? Like, it doesn't
have a lot of virtual consoles.
Yeah. Like, well, Earthbound and Earthbound Zero are kind of the big ones that I think Super Mario RPG was on there too, wasn't it? I might be wrong, but there's a lot of stuff that, you know, still
is an RPG. It's an RPG though on the Switch though.
Super Mario RPG? No.
Yeah.
No.
You sure?
Yes. That's the one
I
everybody
thought
wants
it
to
was.
Wait.
You're right. I'm thinking of the classic system that has Super Mario RPG.
Yes, yes, the classic system did.
You're right. Yeah. I got them confused.
No worries. So,
but why isn't that on there yet? I mean, come on, they've already licensed it for the classic system.
Why and every other Nintendo fan on Twitter wants the answer to that question.
They're not selling those anymore. I mean, like, why not? Like, I don't understand what the holdup is.
Yeah, I don't know either. All right. And I don't know why they won't put this game on more than just mobile phones. I'm talking, of course, about the Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster. Although there are some waves, some things this week making us think maybe it could come to other platforms. Because, you know, speaking of the Switch, I think there's a lot of people that would like to see the Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster on the Switch, at least, if not, you know, some other places. It is coming to Steam as well, though, I should say. So, you know, there's always a Steam Deck, if nothing else, and all those other, you know, magical things that they have there. So I'm having a problem getting this story live. Whoops. There we go. Okay. There was a Japanese Q&A where Square Enix actually talked a little bit about Final Fantasy 1 through 6. And they were talking about that they wanted to renew the games with the same standard, but make it better for first-time players and folks that are returning to the series as well, right? It's kind of the stuff you would expect them to say. It was also mentioned that Kazuko Shibuya, who worked on numerous Final Fantasy games, is recreating the character art for the remasters. That's an important point. It wasn't like outsourced or sent to, you know, people that aren't involved with Final Fantasy or what have you, like the other remasters apparently were. So the ones that they're going to be actually pulling. Nobu Uematsu is supervising the music and rearrangements, so that's nice too. I hope that all turns out well. And these remasters are being released on July 28th, whereas 4 through 6 are coming soon. We don't know exactly when those will be happening, so there is that. Yeah, but if there's enough demand, they might actually make that for other consoles as well. Consider me demanding it. Dark Tosia says, I mean, I hope it does, but, like, did Squeenix not see the reaction to their announcement and how it wasn't announced for consoles, like, at all? Oh, I'm sure they saw it. And maybe that's why we're starting to hear some of the cracks there about, well, it might happen, maybe. As Sean Hunter Matt's saying, they're saying be prepared to pay for it twice. But if they put it on other platforms, I'll buy Final Fantasy V Pixel Remaster twice. Yeah, I think there's a lot of us that would have no... I mean, if you are going to buy any of these, you're probably buying the game for the second, third, maybe fourth time. A game like Final Fantasy...
I actually have the cartridge.
Yeah, a game like Final Fantasy VI... Shit. I don't want to think about how many times I probably bought that game.
I do have the cartridge.
And I'll buy the remaster when it's not on mobile... When it's on the Switch or, you know, somewhere I want to play it. Yeah. All right. Moving on, Darkstalker.
Well, while we've been in quarantine at various levels, there has been a company that has seen an increase in their business, and that's Peloton. You know, with their little, like, on-screen coaches and whatnot. Now they want to enter video games.
Our pal Melody is obsessed with that thing and keeps trying to get me to get one. And I'm like...
I'm not supporting them.
Oh, I'd like to hear more on that. All right.
It's a more of a they don't know the right audience thing. So
okay.
But anyway, they want to bring in like an in-app video game that is currently called Lane Break. It could be subject to change. It's in beta testing right now. Actually, it will be in beta testing later this year, and they want it to launch in early 2022. You can listen to the music that you want to hear in the game and choose your difficulty level and win points. And it's considered, they say, a music-based experience. So basically, as it goes through, is that you have to change your cadence and resistance levels to meet these different goals and everything. You can control your avatar and move them on the racetrack. It looks like it's some kind of racing or marathoning kind of game. But I don't know. There's also another note on there that they're also thinking of going into the wearables market with like a digital heart rate armband and stuff like that. I don't know. their stock fell like 22% last year, but they were up 7% on, you know, last week. So who knows?
I'll be curious to see how they kind of maintain that, because like now that people are going back to the gym and stuff, how that kind of sustains itself
post
pandemic.
My work gym again.
Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, because now a lot of things seem to be regressing a little bit, so could be that the big gyms end up closing too. But we'll see. We'll see. I kind of don't think they will. I don't think they're going to close businesses again. I don't have
room for this shit in my house. I don't have a need for this shit. I own a bicycle. I just have to get the tires fixed on it.
Yeah,
and my bicycle is really adorable and awesome. I have gym equipment in my front room. You don't need to have a gym membership or buy expensive items like this to get a health benefit. And if you've got, you know, I've still got your Ring Fit, don't I?
Mm-hmm.
I'll actually play it someday. Mm-hmm. Remember, I injured my back, though, so I had to quit all of my workouts.
Mm-hmm. Keep seeing those at the store, and I'm like, maybe? I'm waiting for a sale.
I think I'm just going to get one, yeah.
They still have lots of those gaming watches. I've been every time I go to Target, I always check to see if they have them left, and there's still a bunch of them left. They're down to $49.99, still way too much.
I'll wait for another price cut.
Find me a blue shell plushie, because I got my Octorok in the background. I need a blue shell to go with him, so I can throw it at Dan.
All right. Loki, what else do we have?
So they did a brief EA Play presentation this week, which I don't think it was like kind of like their equivalent of like their E3 type coverage, but it was a few announcements. So the big one, obviously, is the tease of the remake of Dead Space, which looks pretty cool. Some other neat things. Battlefield 2042 is going to have a brand new mode called Portal, which is going to allow folks to create like really custom match types. And so everything from like literally bringing in soldiers and stuff from other games, from other Battlefield games. So you can do like World War II versus like future tech stuff and all sorts of crazy different combinations of things. So that looks pretty fun and allow people to actually script different things. They're going to have like visual scripting in there as well to create these custom matches. So that sounds interesting, very intriguing. Along with that, though, there's also this brand new indie game that they were showing off called, Lost in Random, which looked pretty awesome, kind of like almost like a Tim Burton-esque type game. So that's going to be coming as well. It's from the developers of Fae, and that's out in September. And then last but not least, they also showed off Grid Legends, which is pretty cool. And it even has like live action sections in as well for their single player campaign. That said, though, that I understand it's a different company, but like I still have a bad taste in my mouth from the live action stuff from the one of the Need for Speed games that they had.
Oh yeah,
it was ultimate cringe. It was kind of like, hey, look, we're trying to be Fast and the Furious, and it was just like, and this was kind of like still cringy, but not the same. But like I don't know, but I'm sure it's a solid racing game. You know, maybe there's a skip past the cutscene stuff.
That would be nice.
But yeah, it lots of neat things coming out.
Yeah. It's hard to think about other racing games when we know there's a new Forza Horizon coming this year, but yeah, but why not? There's room for everybody. Let's just say that. All right.
Plus, if you like Battlefield games, or at least kind of get a little bit interested in Battlefield 2042, they're actually partnering right now with Amazon for like some Amazon game stuff where they're giving away like Battlefield 1. Like right now, I know through Twitch, they're doing that if you have Prime. So Battlefield 1 is available now, and then they're also going to be, I think, doing Battlefield 5 is also going to be available soon as well. So you know, check on those if your notifications on Twitch and see if you have that.
All right. Well, let's move on to another console that we haven't really. I know we've brought it up before, but we haven't talked a lot about it. But there is a new console on its way, and it's called the Playdate. I don't know if you know this one, but you probably, if you see it, you know, because it has the little crank That's kind of what makes it unique. It's a video game system that you can crank. It's a portable game system. We just
so you can play it during the middle of a disaster.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's powered by the crank.
No.
The crank is just one extra way to play the game. It's an extra type of controller.
It looks ridiculous.
I know some people that are like, I feel like this thing is going to have a bit of a cult following because I know some people that are like super into this. And I think the fact that it is very fiercely indie is very appealing to some people. This doesn't have, you know, the Nintendo, the PlayStation, the Microsoft or whatever behind it. And people are actually like super into that. That it's a fiercely indie thing. But we did find out some more info about the console, and that is that you're going to be able to pre-order them starting this week on the 29th, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. The pre-orders go up. It will be $179. If you want to get a purple protective cover for the handheld, that will be $29. And if you want to get the bundle, that's just shy of $200. There's also going to be a stereo dock, but that isn't ready for pre-orders yet. That's just something they're working on in the future. They're going to make around 20,000 of these that will ship by the end of the year, and then subsequent orders will start in 2022. They are also reassuring that the playdate will not sell out. You will just have to wait in line, so you may not get yours until 2022. You will have to pay for this up front, but Panic does, the company behind it, says that you can cancel this at any time. It is limited to certain countries, so if you're not in like the U.S., Canada, Australia, you might want to look into, is this available in your country? Sorry, Mike Deft, I'm already looking, and Mexico doesn't appear to be on the list. I'm sorry, but maybe in the near future. So yeah, as if all that wasn't enough, the company behind the Playdate, Panic, will be doing a podcast, an official podcast, starting next week that is going to give more information about the console. So I like, there was something where like the crank involved time, so you could move time forward or backward, and that was kind of like a puzzle game with it. I thought that was...
That was one game.
It's a very Nintendo-y thing. It's a very Nintendo-y thing to be like, we have this idea on how games should be played, and now we want these games to involve it.
And so, it's all black and white, too.
It's very a throwback in that way. So, DJ Rama S, though, is asking, where's the KFC console? Remember that? The KFC console that was...
I think they released that.
And let's be real. It's not a console. It's just a fucking PC.
It's a PC case.
Where the case has a piece cut out where you can put chicken because computers get hot. It's a brilliant marketing thing, and that's it. Like, the KFC computer console thing, it's not going to cook your chicken. It's not going to make your home chicken taste like KFC. It's a meme that's gone out of control. That is what the KF console is at this point. It is a meme that's gone out of control. Let's travel back to a simpler time when we didn't even know what memes were. They were memes with our next segment.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And a very theme-appropriate pick this week. Dark Soccer, what did you pick? And we're not hearing Dark Soccer. I don't know if the mute button is coming into play again.
It is, because I was eating meat.
That's all right.
So the game I have chosen, I will use the Japanese name first. Hyper Olympic, also known in the U.S. as Track and Field. It is an Olympic-themed sports game. It was developed by Konami and released in 1983 for arcades. And the Japanese one actually did legitimately have an official license for the 1984 Summer Olympics. In Europe, the game was originally released as Hyper Olympic and then was re-released under the U.S. title Track and Field in 1984. So, the game is, it's very simple. You have two run buttons. Later units had a trackball because the buttons would just break from overuse, and an action button. And you had a few different events, six events. You had a 100-meter dash, You had a long jump. You had a javelin throw. 110-meter hurdles. The hammer throw. Please, hammer. Don't hurt him. And the high jump. In each event, you have to qualify. If you don't qualify, then you lose a life. And then your game will end when you're out. You can earn extra lives per every 100,000 points that you score. The game can take up to four players who would compete in pairs. If there are fewer than four, then the remaining ones are played by the computer. It was a very interesting game when it came out. And there's a little bit more like behind this. There were also some different tricks because of how the game responds to the run button being pressed at a high frequency. When you played in the arcade, there were different tricks like rapidly swiping a coin or a ping pong ball over the buttons, or using a metal ruler which was repeatedly struck so that it would vibrate on the buttons. And so there were lots of damage to the buttons, and then they had to modify them so that it wouldn't, that people wouldn't do that. So when Hyperlympic was introduced, it was at the Tokyo Music Machine, Tokyo's Amusement Machine Show. I can say words, I promise. In September 1983. Now, this was at the time the big trend was Laserdisc games. And the thing is that this particular game beat out all the big Laserdisc games that were out as probably one of the top ones of the games, top one of the series. There were comparisons drawn to Activision Decathlon that it came out the month earlier, but that didn't stop it from being popular. For the U.S., it actually was licensed to Centauri for North American distribution, but since Atari had been chosen as the official Olympic sponsor, they couldn't keep the name Hyper Olympic, so they changed it to Track and Field. And so this was introduced at the Amusement and Music Operators Association show, the AMOA, in October 1983. And again, Laserdisc games were really the big thing there, but it ended up pretty much taking the show. Lots of people really enjoyed it and thought it was the best thing there. So as for various ports, Konami licensed the North American home version to Atari. They initially ported it to the Atari 2600 and 8-bit computers. And then there were versions for Apple II and Commodore 64 under Atari Soft. There's a port for the Atari 5200 that was supposed to come out, but it was canceled. And it was pretty much just like the 8-bit version. And it was the 2600 version was one of the first games to use Atari Superchip technology that enhanced the graphics and gameplay to better than what was previously available. Konami ported Track and Field as Hyper Olympic to the Famicom, and it only had four of the events. And then they also converted Hyper Sports to Famicom, which had three Hyper Sports events and one event from Hyper Olympics. And then Konami retooled the game to be ported in America by including all eight events in the cartridge. So what we have is Track and Field on NES has certain games from Hyper Track, or some stages from Hyper Track and from Hyper Olympic. We have the original six from Hyper Olympic, except the hammer throw is missing. In its place, they have added skeet shooting, archery, and the triple jump. There were ZX Spectrum and Amstrad CPC version, but they were released as part of the Game Set and Match 2 compilation in 1988. And, of course, hated it! They weren't really considered all that great. The NES version of Track and Field was re-released in Europe in 1992 as Track and Field in Barcelona by Kemco, for the 1992 Summer Olympics. The opening song for the NES version was Chariots of Fire, and it was also used in the arcade version's high score screen. As for its reception, in Japan, Game Machine magazine listed Track and Field as their December 1983 issued the most successful new arcade unit of the month. It topped Japan's table arcade cabinet charts in January 1984. The game sold 38,000 units in Japan by the end of 1983. It was a big hit in the U.S. as well. It topped upright cabinet charts in February 1984, May 1984, became one of the highest grossing, one of the top five highest grossing arcade machines in 1984. In Europe, it was the highest grossing arcade game in 1984. Actually, in the UK, in 1984. It was one of the cautions about it is that it's a great game, but you'll cramp your finger for the home versions. It's also was listed as one of the top 100 games of all time in the 1996 issue of Next Generation. As for its impact, it wasn't the first Olympic game that came out. It was preceded by Olympic Decathlon in 1980 and then Activision's Decathlon in August 1983. But it spawned a lot of other Olympic video games afterwards. Ocean Software took that format and used it in Daley Thompson's Decathlon 1984. Epic's released a multi-event collection called Summer Games and then Summer Games 2 Dynamic. There was a Video Olympic for the ZX Spectrum in 1984, Stadium Events for the NES in 1986. And then sports games became more popular after Track and Field's release. They actually hadn't had too many since the days of Pong, maybe a few. And one other interesting thing, Kishimoto Yoshihiro of Namco stated that Track and Field was the biggest influence on the side-scrolling game Pac-Land in 1984. A lot of the controls were heavily influenced by Track and Field, and it let you become faster by tapping the buttons in succession. He thought the idea was interesting and would make Pac-Land stand out. So as far as other re-releases... well, actually, there have been a lot of sequels. There was Hyper Sports, Track and Field 2/Hyper Olympic 2 for the MSX, Konami 88 in the arcade, Track and Field 2 for NES, Track and Field for Game Boy, International Track and Field, I'm just going to name names, Nagano Winter Olympics 98 N64, PlayStation Arcade, International Track and Field 2000, ESPN International Track and Field, Konami Sports Series for mobile phones, New International Track and Field for the DS, Hyper Sports Winter for iOS, Hyper Sports Track and Field also for iOS. And then there were re-releases in the form of Konami Classic Series, Arcade Hits for the DS. It had to alter the Chariots of Fire theme for licensing. It was part of the Konami Game Boy Collection series. Xbox Live Arcade had a version that was released on Xbox 360 August 8th, 2007 with updated graphics, audio leaderboard, online play, and it sold 297,307 copies as of 2011. There were competitions. The world record was originally set December 18th, 2008 by Hector Rodriguez. With a score of 95,350 points, and he beat out the previous record of 95,040 points, which was a 23-year-old record set on June 30th, 1985 by Kelly Kobashigawa of New York for the Twin Galaxies 1985 Video Game Masters Tournament. And the other... Now, this is interesting to me. There, for the 1984 March of Dimes International Konami / Century Track and Field Challenge, this was held at Aladdin's Castle. Guess whose first, well, actually second arcade gig was at an Aladdin's Castle? This bitch. So there we go. So our game is Hyper Olympics/Track and Field.
All right. And this is one I remember playing, but it hurts. Like the buttons and smashing them as much as you had to in this game. It was a talent, I think, to do that. So, all right. There it is. Your classic game.
And
go ahead.
To answer Dark Tetsuya, yes, I believe that Pyramid Head was in the DS one.
I do remember that because I think that was the thing we talked about on the show years ago. Yeah. Because I remember it was like, what the hell does he do in the track and field game? But who cares? It's funny. All right. There it is.
Well, I mean, he does get around. He's in Dead by Daylight. He's in other Silent Hill games that have nothing to do with the mythology. He appeared because he was supposed to be James Sunderland's like interest in punishing himself.
Yeah.
Go fig. Wasn't he also in like one of the Konami racing games?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that P-Hitty gets around.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's go around the world quickly and check out some rapid fire news, some other headlines in the gaming industry. Loki.
Yeah. So apparently we're getting Vendetta as part of the Arcade Archives. So that was the old Konami, I guess it's like a beat 'em up type game. Interesting. So that'll be coming out soon. And then on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. $8, it looks like. And then this is... Konami, you gotta let Frogger go. Stop pushing Frogger. But apparently, there is a Frogger TV show coming that I completely forgot about. I know we've talked about it, though. And Damon Wayans Jr. is going to be hosting that. Which, man, he is a spitting image of his father.
Haven't you ever seen Happy Endings? He's in that show, and that is one of the funniest shows I've ever seen. It's so good. It's so good.
No, I'm sure he's hilarious, but I'm guessing the Frogger TV show is just going to be a Wipeout game. I mean, it looks like a Wipeout game, so I guess I'm fine with that, but just let Frogger die, please. The games are not great. The old Frogger are good. Every other game that came after Frogger, not good. TV show, probably all right.
So before we get
Frogger 2 was okay.
Before we get to Dark Sakura's headlines, I want to read this comment from chat because talking about Pyramid Head in the track and field game. Apparently, we did cover this on episode number 244 of Orange Lounge Radio. Look at you guys. You're on fire. And we did our silly little listless game. We used to do a lot on the show, but we haven't done it in a while because we haven't had as many guests in the studio and all that stuff. Maybe someday we'll bring it back. But we did a listless, which is that whole little game we play to determine the top three. So we actually did a listless. What character would we like to see in new international track and field? So number three was Dracula from Castlevania. Okay, I think we had to keep it to Konami games. So number three was Dracula from Castlevania. Number two was Mr. Spanky, the infamous DDR PC add-on character. You'll have to Google that one. And then number one was the left...
You used to do that voice.
I used to. And then number one was the left DDR arrow from DDR. I don't know where that came from, the left arrow, but that was the number one that answer that.
Oh my God, we still have the Mr. Spanky page on our wiki.
Oh, I'm sure there's lots of old jokes on the wiki. That's for sure.
I'm gonna put it in chat.
All right,
Mr. Spanky was one of those. I wish I could have been in that meeting where they were discussing Mr. Spanky and adding them to the game.
Yes.
I'm gonna make a chat icon of Mr. Spanky, I think.
You know, we do still need some icons for VOG, but I guess we shouldn't take them all over. Yeah, no, you should take Mr. Spanky for your channel. I don't think I'd be able to talk.
No, I wasn't gonna do it for me. I was gonna do it for VOG.
Oh, I don't know if I can talk Bobby into that.
Eddie and Mr. Spanky.
But Mr. Spanky's a bit of a meme at this point here on OLR, so love that. And you may not know this, but there is a whole Orange Lounge Radio wiki, which you can get to at, Wikia is a thing of the past and it's all fandom now.
It's at fandom, yeah.
Yeah, so it's orangeloungeradio.fandom.com is where you can find the wiki for that. So check that out. Okay, Dark Sakura, we were going to get to your headlines before we got derailed by Mr. Spanky.
That's Mr. Spanky. Nintendo Switch Online has shown some new SNES games coming out for the update on the 28th of this month. Claymates, Jelly Boy, and Bomboozle are out there. Honestly, the only of those games I think I've played was Claymates. There's not going to be any, it looks like there's not any NES ones coming out, just SNES. So, at least, hey, Claymates, right? Who cares?
Okay.
And I know, it's like the Monty Python, and they were forced to eat Robin's minstrels, and there was much rejoicing. Yay. But in Japan.
Yes that. Yes.
Exactly. That's the reaction. We're forced to eat Robin's minstrels. Yay. Anyway, in Japan, however, though, they're getting some cool shit. They are getting Bomboozle, just like we are, but they're also getting Shin Megami Tensei If and Dead Dance. We got Dead Dance over here as Tough Enough. They had like the worst cover of all. But I mean, still probably a better game than some of those others. I think it's pretty good to get a Shin Megami Tensei game.
Yeah.
I still need to send Bobby my copy of Soul Hackers. I have two copies of Soul Hackers. All right. Also, stop asking me about cookies. The answer is always no. Stupid thing.
Chocolate chip? Peanut butter? Sugar? Snickerdoodle?
I actually got a candle at Target, and I'll put it on the camera in a minute. But it says, "Site cookies may help perform. These cookies serve to enhance the performance of your computer or something." And then me, same. It was kind of cute. It smells like cookies. Anyway, so for people who are still playing Pokemon Go, and I'm looking at Mike.
You can look right over here too.
Well, yeah, but Pokemon Go's August Community Day event will feature Eevee!
Again.
If you evolve Eevee into any of its evolutions, starting from Friday, August 13th to Monday, August 16th, it will learn a special attack. Evolving Eevee into Sylveon will also require fewer hearts than usual. I actually do have all of my Eevees.
I believe it's pronounced Eeveelutions.
No, that's only the internet says that. So, anyway, the special moves that you can get are for Vaporeon, you get Scald. Jolteon gets Zap Cannon. Flareon gets Superpower. Espeon gets Shadow Ball. Umbreon gets Psychic. Leafeon gets Bullet Seed, Glaceon gets Water Pulse, and Sylveon gets Psyshock. And then there's a whole bunch of other crap that's going to happen. You can also get a one-time Community Day box that you can spend 1,280 coins on, and it will give you 50 Ultra Balls, 5 Incense, Elite Fast TM, and Elite Charge TM. There will be more Eevees around. Snapshots will give you more surprises. Lore modules will last for 3 hours, and incense will also last for 3 hours. And then if you pay $1, you can access the Eevee Community Day special research story, what you choose to be.
I'm okay with this one repeating because I want to grind the XL candy. That is one thing about, and I think this one's across 2 days, so I want to be able to get a level 50. I have a 100% Vaporeon, so I really want to get them to level 50. But I find that Sylveon is a very effective raid Pokemon as well. And as Mike Def says in chat, the only attacks that are actually worth a damn are Umbreons and Sylveons. And that's the thing they're doing better this time, is that it's the Eeveelutions that are getting the special move and not the base Eevee. Like, why give base Eevee a special move? You're not going to use base Eevee in, like, raids and stuff. So I like that they're doing that differently this time. So as far as repeats go, it could have been a lot worse, but I think we have to get used to the idea there are going to be repeat days This game is 5 years old. So, you know, it is what it is. Mm. All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and some things you could be playing sooner than EV Community Day if you want. Let's start in the U.S., Loki.
Yeah, so this week we've got a few games. The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4. Neo, The World Ends With You. Now you're able to play it when everybody else is supposed to play it, not early. That's on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4 as well. Microsoft Flight Simulator on Xbox Series X. I'm sure a lot of people are excited about that. Samurai Warriors 5 on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Tribes of Midgard on PC, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. We have a Chernobyl Light? I don't know how to pronounce that, but it's got Chernobyl in the name. That's on PC. Unbound Worlds Apart on PC as well. The Ascent on PC, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Blaster Master 03 on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. The Blaster Master Zero Trilogy, Metafight Chronicle on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Fuga, Melodies of Steel on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Omno on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And we've got Paint Town Red on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. That's it.
All right. Traveling to Japan and looking at the releases over there. On July 27th for the Nintendo Switch, Neo, The World Ends With You comes out in Japan on July 27th. Also on July 29th, that Blaster Master Zero Trilogy. I'm really excited about that. That is out on the Switch. They get a limited edition if you want with a soundtrack and a like art book. So, which most limited editions are pretty much at this point. But yeah, I love that Japan gets all these limited editions. So there is that to look forward to this week as well. Shin Hariyagami 3 is out on the Switch. The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles is also out this week. Quite a bit of overlap there. Susano, Japanese mythology RPG, is out this week as well on the Switch. And I think that's it for the Switch. Let me look at the PlayStation 5. I think it's a little slower. There's some accessories, third-party accessories, but no big games this week. And I think the PlayStation 4 is mostly the same stuff we already heard on the Switch. Yeah, that same Blaster Master trilogy, Ace Attorney, and so forth. I'm not. Oh, Ark Ultimate Survivor Edition. Oh, that game, the online Ark game. I know I have some friends that are really into that. But Japan is getting some sort of PS4 release, like the Ultimate Survivor Edition, that must come with a bunch of in-game crap and the game on a disc. That is out this week in Japan. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
We have on the 27th, Neo, The World Ends With You. The rest are all on the 30th. We have Tribes of Midgard, Busta Fellows, Song of Horror, Fear the Pestilence. That actually looks interesting. Vampire the Masquerade, Coteries of New York, and Shadows of New York. We also have Yonder, The Cloud Catcher Chronicles, and Theme Park Simulator.
All right.
That's it.
Let's get into some more stories, and then... later in the show, you know what? We did an experiment last week, and it worked pretty well. So I think tonight, if you want to call into the show, we'll be taking calls from the Green Room. So you can have the Green Room in our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord, and we'll take calls later in the show. But for now, let's get into some more stories. Loki.
In more news, that's not really surprising. Steam is planning on replacing Big Picture Mode with the Steam Deck UI. I mean... makes sense, because I mean, look at what the Switch does. It's basically the same UI, and also probably I think Big Picture Mode's kind of needed a refresh for a while now, so it makes sense that there'd be that kind of standardization. But that's what they're basically going to be doing. We're replacing Big Picture Mode with new UI from the deck. We don't have an ETA on that yet, but it is going to be something that's coming soon. I think that's probably a welcome change. It'd be interesting to see, you know. Maybe that might make it more advantageous to have, like, you know, a Steam console in the living room or something like that, aside from just the handheld. I don't know. Cool.
Bobby Blackwolf is pointing out in our chat, they've already changed the UI inside Steam VR, so it's not like Big Picture Mode anymore. So
okay,
they yeah, already were laying the groundwork for this, I guess.
Cool. I look forward to it.
Yeah, I think it's nice to give that a refresh because the that big picture UIs or the, I'm sorry, the big picture mode's been kind of the same thing for a long time. So
it'll
be nice. And it's like we all get a little something different, even if we didn't get the Steam Deck. So I don't know, that part of it's kind of cute. Anyway,
There
was word around social media this week that, oh my gosh, there was a PlayStation 4 crypto farm, and some pictures came out. It was a farm that had been busted in Ukraine, and there were all these PlayStation 4s, and the titles were, look at all this Bitcoin they're mining, and that's the thing. Although it turns out, can you believe it? Social media misstated the story. Can you believe it? That headline was proven to be false. But I'm not sure the end result is any better. Somehow it's actually worse. They were farming and selling digital currency and accounts, for EA's FIFA games. That's right. Remember, FIFA is the biggest game in the world. You might be thinking, but Rob, Madden. And I say, but you, the world. It's not just America. I said the world. So those FIFA games are huge, of course, and we all know EA loves the microtransactions in the games. So anyway,
they don't need to be regulated, not at all.
A Ukrainian news outlet named Delo reported that PCs were running bots on the consoles to play FIFA and automatically earn the in-game currency. You use the coins in the Ultimate Team or Foot, F-U-T, get it, mode to get, like, popular players or open the packs and get, you know, add-ons. You all know how that works, loot boxes.
You know, I'm not sure, but does that stuff even transfer over now? Because, I mean, they release a new game each year, and I'm pretty certain that, like, your progress from one to the other doesn't transfer over because they're greedy and they want to make all of the money, so...
Yeah. So selling these accounts is, of course, against EA policies, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't stop it from happening.
Yeah, like they're going to stop it.
If you want to know how much these go for and how much a farm like this could make, a PlayStation 4 FIFA 21 account with 5.1 million coins was going for $300. So, don't support this by buying that stuff because it's probably coming from a farm that looks like a cryptocurrency farm, except it's just mining a different type of currency.
And if EA has a way to make that $300 for them, they're going to find a way.
Yeah. Mike Defton chat says there's a rumor running around about FIFA will go mobile only next year like PES is doing. Yeah, I heard about that. So Persona Evolution Soccer is going to like eFootball. However, I think that's a Konami issue. I think that's an issue where, like, Konami doesn't really make console games anymore. They contract stuff out to let other people make games, but let's be real. K-Set, not a thing anymore. So I think that's a big part of why Pro Evolution Soccer is changing, and they're trying to make it sound like a good thing, and no. Let's see. Other comments in chat. SG100 Matt says, each year is different. Nothing transfers from year to year. Yeah, that's for true. All right, let's keep going on. Dar Sagra.
So, we all like our Google Doodles, right? Right, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, this one, it's a JRPG minigame.
Cute.
So it's from a studio, 4°C, has made like a little Olympics inspired Doodle Champion Island games that you can just play around with on their website. It has artistic swimming, archery, climbing, table tennis, rugby, marathon, and skateboarding, and they're pretty neat, pretty cool. It looks really adorable. I want this forever. And there's animation on it, too, when you win a scroll. There's also a DDR level.
Yeah, I haven't really poked around in the Google Doodle, but this sounds really cute. It sounds like SSJ100 Matt in our chat has, saying this Google Doodle is really cute and fun. So I guess hopefully it's one of those things you can access after it's over still, like the Pac-Man thing and some of the infamous things of Google's past. You know,
it is really cute.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry, I need to like stop playing it. I pulled it up just to watch the intro again, and yeah. I wish I could download it. No, stop.
Hey, you never know. Sometimes these Google things turn into actual games. Case in point, that April Fool's prank that became Pokemon Go. That was in part inspired by a Google April Fool's prank where the Pokemon were all over the map. It's crazy.
I am a big fan of Inspect Page Source download.
All right. Let's move on. I know it's weird to talk about the Nintendo hack sometimes, but the reality is we talk about things that gaming culture and stuff is talking about. So we kind of put this a little more towards the end of the show to talk a little bit about what has come up in the latest Nintendo leak. Right, Loki?
Yeah. So the latest leak, though, is all sorts of different projects that were apparently scrapped. One, of course, that I'm kind of disappointed in, a DDR Mario 2 would have been pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. But there was also a Metroid game as well. I just saw the second one on this list here, and I'm not happy about this. I'm going to skip that for right now.
No, no, no. I think you should talk about it. I already know what it is.
So they had this game called, there was a Excite Truck, which was known as World's Toughest Race. They say a racing game that looks like a four-wheel drive truck version of Excite Bike with realistic oriented graphics. But that's basically, they already made that. So that was something that they did make. I thought, when I first read that, I thought these were all different games that were scrapped. I'm like, they had another one? They didn't make it? I'm going to have to kill somebody.
No, you know, it's more just like the early concept of it. But somebody had the bright idea to tie it back to Excite Bike, and that's cute.
That was smart. Project Hammer, which was something that we knew about. You know, that was something that they were showing off at E3 and stuff like that, so makes sense. Tennis, which ended up being part of Wii Sports at one point, obviously. And then they had, what else? A Metroid game that was being developed by Intelligent Systems. And this was come out after Prime, Project X by Retro Studios, which is an action game featuring Sheik from Zelda Ocarina of Time. They had Knights Wars by Kuju, which is a fantasy-based strategy game with Battalion Wars assets. Super Smash Bros. Brawl. They, of course, you know, have it listed as Project Sora, which, I mean, we kind of knew that. What else is interesting? Jump Superstars for the Wii. I think they did one for the Wii U, though, so, I mean, that's not a big deal. The Seer, unreleased N-Space game. It says female spy infiltration action Metal Gear-like games. Sounds interesting. So, yeah, more stuff out of the leaks. They're safe for now because that was the actual Excite Truck and not a sequel that they didn't make. So you are on thin ice, Nintendo.
Well, to be fair, they did make that sequel.
When have they been?
That doesn't count. We don't talk about that sequel. There should not be mini games in the middle of a race where I have to throw pies at giant scary clowns or make a sandwich in the middle of a race.
What did they call? What was that game called? Was it
Excitebots Trick Racing?
Excitebots. That's right. Okay.
I still have it. I will still play it. I just don't like it as much as the original.
Fair enough. All right. And our last story tonight has to do with, yes, this is an actual game that's on its way out for PlayStation VR. And it's a game called The Last Video Store. Since I don't know about you guys, but I have like several people I know that have taken the trek up to, I think it's Bend, right? Oregon, where the last Blockbuster is at. That place has become a meme of sorts and I'm sure is making money. It's interesting to think that's probably like a tourist attraction very randomly in that rural part of Oregon at this point. And that's kind of how they're staying in business at this point, is by being infamous as the last Blockbuster. So PlayStation VR is doing a parody of it.
Probably the last video stores. I mean, there's not really video stores anymore.
No,
either.
That's very true as well. And so they're calling it, because they don't have any type of license and it's a little bit of parody. This game is called The Last Video Store. It is being done by Rare Bird Games, who made a game called Sinfeld Remaster. It was a horror game. So is that?
Tell me it's a Seinfeld horror game. Is that a Seinfeld horror game?
I'm trying to, let me look up on it because I actually don't know.
I am looking this
but
up
I'm hoping
right
our
now.
Chat might actually know. Yes, it is. It is a parody Seinfeld horror game,
yes.
Basically. You went around the apartments and you would get startled by a doll sometimes at points. So that creative genius is now bringing you this.
I love it.
So, yeah, there's a trailer out there you can check out. You can explore the area around the store. You can do a night drive around the neighborhood. There's a survival mode where you get realistic local jobs and bills to pay while managing your video enthusiast hobbies on the side. There's cult videos like Evil Dead and Mac and Me, and you can watch them in a theater. I don't know how that works, but okay.
I'm pretty sure they didn't license any of this. Like, none of this could be possibly licensed.
Yeah, but I think when you're doing parody, you can get away with a lot. So as long as they're not using the actual movie, they can probably do it. So yeah, is it a horror game? Probably, but more to come on this. I think this is really funny. So,
how do they have clips from the movies in there?
Do they have clips from the movies in it?
I see. I'm watching the trailer, and they have Mac. I see Mac and Me clips in there.
Maybe they got licenses. They got a deal somehow. So, all right.
Well, I bet they didn't, but okay.
Sounds like some of you have some things to order on the PlayStation 4. All right. Anyway, we'll I'll have to check that out when it gets a little closer to release, because I haven't bought anything on PlayStation VR in a while, but I want to check that out. All right. Let's get to the listener roundtable. So we're going to get to the mailbag over at participate@orangeontradio.com. And I'm also going to open up our phones. I haven't said that in a long time. If you want to join us tonight, head on over to vognetwork.com/discord and join the green room. And we'll be keep in mind, this is going to work a little differently from before. When I bring you in from the green room, you are instantly on air. So make sure your camera isn't doing anything that's going to get us banned from Twitch. And this is also why I'm probably going to stick to trusted names and people that have been listening to the show for a little while, or at least people I recognize from other Twitch channels. If you're a completely random name, probably not going to get to right away until we have a little more comfort with how we can work with that. I also have a button I can hit here that won't show their actual camera until we're ready for it. So, all right. Let's get to it. The mailbag. Actually, I don't know if we have any email. Participate@orangeontradio.com. No?
Nope.
How dare. All right.
To quote Spaceballs, we ain't found shit.
That was Tuvok that said that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. That was the same actor, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, participate@orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email in a future week. Okay, so...
You know what this means?
What?
Drag Race.
Have you been watching Drag Race?
I haven't watched it yet because I need to... With you.
The last lip sync... The lip syncs this season have been very strong. That's what I'm going to say. This last one was really fun. Oh, wait, no. The one 2 weeks ago was really fun. Last one was good, too. There's a lot of people talking about... How did the winning queen keep things in place during that lip sync? Because that was a talent.
Well, and also to answer Bobby's question, I only got Mandalorian yesterday and haven't had a chance to play it because of work.
You should read the question. Read the question for the podcast listeners, please.
Oh, how is Mandalorian pinball? I thought I said it. Sorry. It's how was Mandalorian pinball, and I don't know because I was at work and then streaming and doing stuff all day. So now we have company over who is playing Mandalorian right now in our garage, and I haven't touched it yet.
Bobby's getting a Mando machine like tomorrow. So
I know that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Ours, we weren't going to get one, and then it just happened to fall into place that the. We could trade Monster Bash, which I was never interested in Monster Bash. So I'm pleased that we were able to set up the trade.
No one special 77 in chat has a question for us tonight that says, before the days of digital distro of games, did you have a favorite go-to store for games that no longer exists now?
Well, it's funny. Bobby listed Software Etc., and DJ Ronma S said Funko Land, and I was going to say Babbage's, and all three of those are owned by GameStop.
Yes.
Yeah, Software Etc. used to be my go-to.
Now I can answer this with Fry's.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
R.I.P. Fry's.
Yeah, that used to be my fave. I go to Target now, but they're not just extinct yet.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying they won't be extinct for a while, probably.
SJ 100 Matt says, so is the next point challenge a Bobby Blackwolf or Jamie and Dan pinball garage stream? That's a good point. I don't know if we've unleashed the next challenge yet. I think.
No.
Don't randomly shout something out that we're going to be committed to.
No, no, no. This is why it's not going to happen.
Oh, okay, okay.
I need, basically my webcam is my iPhone, right? I would actually need two dedicated cameras and the link for my for the boards, unless I did one of the older tables and then had that instead be a third camera. So I would also have to have a big rig over it and anti-glare coating on the glass, or else the lights would just reflect so terribly on there. If you really want to watch a great, great pinball streamer, look up Jack Danger, who I also need to give a shout out to for helping me with Dan's presents last year, his Christmas presents. I'm trying to actually figure out what his Deadflip Pinball. So yeah, his channel is Deadflip, and he plays so many different tables. If ever you want to learn anything about a table, see him in play. Absolutely watch him. Bobby's listing another great one. Another great pinball streamer is PB_Undesirables, and he is going to be on a panel I'm moderating at Southern Fried Gaming Expo. There's also, I think one that's called like Bro Do You Pin or Bro Do You Flip or something like that. We watch that one from time to time. There's also another husband and wife team that are really good streamers, and for the life of me, I can't remember their names. But most of the time I'm watching Jack Danger just because, I don't know, he's been a cool guy. He'll talk to people. He's pretty rad. He likes to say bro a lot, at least last time I watched him.
We haven't decided what the next bonus stream is, to be honest. So I think we still had done the last one. So technically,
hey Rob,
what?
Maybe we should do a kill your friends.
We can set something like that up. Oh, you want to do like a DBD night type of the community night, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Maybe something like that. I completely suck and I won't play Survivor, but.
Technically it's Bobby's turn, but I don't know if he has anything
on deck.
Yeah, it is
Bobby's turn. So I'm just meant like eventually.
Yeah, eventually. So we'll see. I actually have an idea as well. I just have to confirm it with, because there would be other people involved in a certain day. Okay, fuck it. This isn't an official announcement, but it is something that we're trying to make happen and I think will happen for a bonus stream in the near future. And I think this is a good time for this to happen too, and that is a Horde House reunion stream is in the works for this year.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. So for those that don't know, for several years I used to host a World of Warcraft podcast with my friends Extifer and Shane and Grandpa Matt. And I've talked to, I think, two of the three individually that are both like okay with it. And I need to just get everybody else on board and make sure we have the right time frame from that. So that is something we're going to work on for the somewhat near future. So, all right.
That just makes me kind of regretful that the little comic thing I was working on with Slidekick never came to fruition, except for one panel or one comic.
You know, I could probably get a Reading is Fundamental reunion podcast, too, even though that was never a VOG show. But I guess there's, you know, whatever.
See, I still think Hills Brad Blues could launch.
Yeah. Speaking of, well, never mind. I can't talk out of turn. I can't talk about other people's projects without the go ahead. But I say is that there's other projects I'm aware of that I think want to come back after a long hiatus, and I really hope they do. Sending all my love and strength.
I also have a project in mind that I've, you know, mentioned around that I really want to do, although the name is changing, is I really want to do a Dead by Daylight podcast.
Oh.
But not necessarily about the game specifically, but into the community and certain players and different things like that. And I know I've brought it up to you, and you've got a lot of projects on your plate, but love to find, you know, good co-host.
Yeah, I'll guest on it, but I just don't want
to
take
it. I offered it to Alan, too. I would have really loved to have Alan as my co-host, but, you know, things are where they are.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and if you're listening and you are into the Debbies, talk to me.
All right. Well, there's nobody in the green room, but let me check on any last minute stories from Loki.
I wanted to mention that there was some rumors. Well, I mean, it's screenshots of the actual product, so I don't know how. It's a rumor in the sense that they're not announcing it officially, but there is some more Arcade 1-Up stuff, including a Terminator 2 machine, which looks pretty awesome. I don't know if I'd want a dedicated Terminator 2 machine, but it's still pretty cool. Maybe like with Revolution X or some other games that kind of have that same setup. But yeah, and then there was the, I think it was a Capcom fighting game, maybe Marvel vs. Capcom or Street Fighter 2. It was like a cocktail cabinet that they've got. So that looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm with Bobby in chat who says, I'll believe it when I can buy it. Yeah, the earlier E3 leak got me a little hyped up too soon, but my wallet is thankful on that regard, so that's fine. Arcade 1-Up has already put out Street Fighter 2 numerous times, but the cocktail element is probably the new part of that. Because, you know, there's people love those cocktail cabs, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, they're pretty nice.
Yeah, I might want to get a cocktail cabinet for reasons in the future. We'll see. So, all right. Dark Tetsuya says, and then there was that whole Simpsons thing. No idea where that was at. Yeah, the official trailer was found. And then, mysteriously, it didn't get announced. Like, there was a last-minute licensing problem.
Interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. All right. Well, I don't think we have anybody wanting to call tonight. That's okay. We'll try again next week. I know it's a new concept. We got to get back into that. But I think that brings us towards the end of the show. And that is where we're going to get everybody's final thoughts. But first, I want to say thank you so much for downloading OLR or listening to us live, however you participated in the show this week. Thank you for your support. We really appreciate it. If you enjoyed what you heard here at the show, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out on air, then what can we do? If you didn't enjoy the show, then keep quiet. No, I'm kidding. You can always email.
Yeah, shut up and go away.
You can always email us, participate@orangeontrady.com, or if you want to reach out to me directly, rob@vognetwork.com, and send feedback. I'm open to it. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever you found this podcast goes an awful long way. If you feel so inclined, we have a shop set up over at vognetwork.com/shop. If you want to pick up an Orange Lounge Radio t-shirt or some other excellent Vogue Network merchandise, such as that 80s inspired logo the Dark Soccer put together, that I will probably use that shirt as one of my Dragon Con shirts. So that will be fun. Check that out, vognetwork.com/shop. I think that's it. That brings me to the final thoughts and the end part of the show. Darkstalker, I'll let you go first because you probably want to go get started. Are you streaming tonight? Or you?
I am streaming tonight. Okay. No, I was saying that if you don't have to raid me every week, if there's someone you think deserves a raid more, I appreciate it, though. I absolutely, absolutely, it helps me a lot, and I appreciate it.
Sure.
If you feel so inclined for Dead by Daylight, maybe a little bit of extra discussion. Maybe I'll talk about my own deep thoughts about the Blizzard thing earlier today. Then stay tuned for after the show.
I'm probably am gonna raid tonight, just because I'm not prepared to do anybody else, but I will evaluate for next week, and maybe we'll spread the love a little bit. Sure, why not?
I also have a follower goal now, so I'm trying to get up to 200 for my next steps.
Would hope all the OLR people are following you at this point, though.
You'd be surprised. I wanted to do some finger waggling. Okay. Gonna go ahead and duck out and use the facilities and get myself ready for the show.
All right. Fair enough. All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all.
Okay. Loki, we can get to your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I need to figure out what I'm going to do next for my next video. Actually, I already know what I'm going to do, but I need to actually plan it out. So.
All right. Get to work.
The clock starts again.
Get to work, but maybe not frame by frame. Like maybe
maybe
a quicker post-production.
I'm sure there's a better way to do it, but like I this is the first time I actually used After Effects, so it was kind of a learning as I go.
My final thought this week is, and I think I referenced this on last week's show, but I'll just tell you what's going on. I am having surgery on Wednesday, and so it's not anything to be too concerned about. Basically, the deal is, and you probably can't see this on Twitch, but I'm going to try to show you anyway and apologize to the podcast listeners. But if I do a side profile, you can probably actually see on my neck, there's like a little bit of a bump. There's like a growth there on my neck. Yeah. So I've actually had that for like 4 years. And it's been getting a little bit bigger, and it's actually started to hurt a little bit, so they're going to be removing it. They don't suspect it's anything bad. They'll do all the tests on it just to make sure, just out of abundance of caution. But yeah, that is what I'm having removed on Wednesday, and so I'm going to be in recovery. I'm hoping it's a pretty quick thing that they're not making it sound like I'm going to be – it's just, you know – there'll be stitches in it. So I have to basically treat it like a wound that has stitches that, you know, will take a couple days to recover and all that stuff. So Digirama S says, going to Dr. Pimple Popper. Now, you and I both know that is not covered by our fair insurance in this country. So I'm going to a doctor that is covered by my insurance that I guess does the exact same thing pretty much. So, yeah. And Tay Plays Game says, is it a lipoma? I've got one on my arm, too, usually benign. You'll be fine. That is exactly what it is. So it's just in a weird place on my neck. So, yeah, at least that's what it's been diagnosed as. So, yeah, thank you, everybody. I really appreciate that. But that is what's going on. So next week, if I'm wearing a scarf on the show, I don't want to hear it. So I'm just going to put that up front. Next week, if I'm wearing a scarf, now you know why. I don't want to hear it. All right. That's it. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days. Play some games. Have some fun. Don't be mean to people online, and especially don't be mean to people in real life, which is, I think, a topic we talked in depth about tonight. Call that bullshit out when you see it everywhere and anywhere. Have a good night, everybody. See ya.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.